ർഗോ മൃഷാം സദാ നിരസ്തമുഖം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോചിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിംവാപരൈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യമരുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതിവി ശുശ്രൂഷുവേ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഭമുഖാദമൃഗദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാഭുവിഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ ത്രയവിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുവേദമവേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മേ യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാൽപദീപമതിദിദീർഷതം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകൊണിദാതൃദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കണികാവികാവികാവീ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമഃ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം ഗീസരസിജം കരുണാ സമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസതാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം അംഗം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം ൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതീമഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപാ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ ത്വത്രവേ ത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോദോദ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദനാം പാർത്ഥോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജയദ്രഥചലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനീ സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ ആരാശര്യവജ സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥ ഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതമംഗജ കൈമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്ദി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേ വേദേ സംഗമദേ ക്രമൌപനിഷദേർഗായം ദിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന് ദിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. So, yesterday, in that verse, 16th verse, Krishna says, Tatraivam sadhi kartaram, atmanam kevalam tuya, pashyadi agrada buddhitvan, nasa pashyadi durmati. We talked about it yesterday also, that one who has that understanding that Atma is always in the liberated state. Atma is always in the liberated state. It's never bound. You will see in the Bhagavatam Krishna repeating that again and again. Bandho mukta idhi vyakhya gunadomi na vastuta gunasya maya mulatval name moksho na bandhanam. Bondage and liberation has nothing to do with Atma, with the self. That is important point. So, Atma similarly, there is no sinful reactions in Atma. Pious activities, their results are also not in the Atma. It's all finished with the Jiva and the subtle body. There it ends. Atma is untouched by any of these things. One who has got this knowledge, Krishna says, one who has this understanding, who has realization of that, he will not get bound anywhere. Wherever he goes, he is never bound by anything. And he will not get affected by anything, even in the vyavaharam, in the transactions in this world, he will not get bound because he knows the self, Atma, is never touched by any actions. But Krishna, before coming into that understanding, Krishna said to us in this, in that last two lines, Pashyati agrata buddhi thual nasa pashyati durmadi. He mentions like that. Isn't it? So, why Krishna is saying like this so strongly about it? That's the question you have to ask. Nasa pashyati durmadi. To put somebody to push you down to that extent, to make us aware. That pashyati agrada buddhitval nasa pashyati durmadi. Krishna says he's a durmadi. Durmadi means one who is very foolish and very stupid in that way. So, why he said that? Because in the next verse, Krishna is going to talk about something much higher level. To make that, the seriousness behind that, Krishna is stressed in this verse itself. For example, Krishna gives this understanding, Ishvara. Ishvara we mentioned yesterday. Ishvara is Krishna's that manifestation who is in control of the creation, maintenance and dissolution. Isn't it? Srishti, Siddhi, Samharam. That's why Ishvara comes in. It's that role played by Brahman. Krishna plays that role as Ishvara when he controls the maintenance, creation, maintenance and dissolution. So, because he is doing that, because there is creation, because there is maintenance, because there is dissolution involved, naturally there will be good and bad in that. Pious results and sinful activities will come within that, and their reactions also. For example, when Krishna destroys, he should get the sinful reaction for that. Because he is destroying it, isn't it? Similarly, when he creates, he has to get the credit for his pious activities. But that is never attributed to Krishna. When Krishna does it, it is not attributed to him. He is created. That means he must have some pious credit for that, for creation, and giving us all these facilities to live. But nothing is credited to him. Similarly, when Krishna is destroying everything, or when Krishna is maintaining everything, we have to give credit for that to also to Krishna. If Krishna does not maintain, this creation won't carry on. Is it not? Just like you go to the earth, you sow the seed, earth is producing the plant from that. And the plant is producing the food for us to survive in this world. So our maintenance is carried on by Mother Earth. So who gives that power to the earth? The Chaitanyam or the living force inside Mother Earth. She is the one, when you sow the seed, from that seed a plant comes out and from the plant food is coming out. So all that creation process is properly set up in such a way, as much as there is Chaitanyam or living forces in the earth, there will always be food from the earth. If there is no living force, food cannot come from there. That is the principle. So because it is like that, Krishna should get the credit for that. Because Krishna is Ishvara there, who in the role of Ishvara, he creates the food from the earth. So all these, similarly, when Krishna is destroying everything, he should be punished for that as well, based on our law of this world, isn't it? That is why, when Arjuna was shown the universal form, Arjuna got frightened seeing that form of Krishna. Because normally we all like to see Krishna in the form we are used to worshipping him. Either Parthasarathi or Venugopal or Shyamasundar or any Gokulananda, whichever form one, we think that that is the only form of Krishna. But Krishna has another form which we haven't seen. And Arjuna saw that form. When he saw that form, what did he say? He said at that time that Lelikhyase grisa manas samandad logan samahartum hyam prabhita. He got so frightened seeing that form. He told Arjuna, Arjuna says to Krishna, withdraw that form, because in that form what Arjuna saw was all these great, great personalities, they are being swallowed up by that form. Bhishma, Drona and many others, they were eaten by that universal form and they were getting killed. Seeing that, Arjuna got frightened. So there also, Krishna is not punished for that, isn't it? So you can see here that Krishna has no karma in anything. Activities are happening within him, but there is no karma attributed to that, attributed to Krishna. Similarly, when a jiva also, when he gets released from the modes of nature, or in other words, that jivatvam goes away from him. Because in Ishvara, there is no ahankaram. False ego doesn't exist there. Karmam goes through him. Therefore, there is no false ego in him. Similarly, when jiva also come to that stage, when there is no false ego, whatever karmam goes through him will not have any vasana or karmic reactions from that. This is the principle. But we also mentioned there yesterday that you have to be careful about this. That suppose, as long as we have a mind inside, as long as there is a mind inside, if you say that, oh, I have got the knowledge, therefore, I'm situated in the platform of knowledge, therefore, whatever activities I do, it has no karmic reactions. If you mention that, that is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. Because, as long as you have this thing called mind inside, and as long as you remain as a jiva, in the jiva state, and you cannot engage in this sadhana. You cannot engage in this sadhana. Because the point what Krishna is going to make in this next verse is that any force that is operating within the nature, there is no ego attached to that force. For example, you can see here, therefore there is no, you can't find any fault or you can't punish that. All the natural forces that's operating, there is no ego attached to that. It is due to our attachment to the ego that we get punished. All our punishments in this world, through the court, through the eyes of the law, is because of the ego being connected with the action. For example, when material nature is punishing us, say for example earthquake, or tsunami, or a cyclone, or things like that, when that is happening, whom will you arrest? Whom will you punish? You can't punish anybody, isn't it? So you cannot do anything. Similarly, when floods happen, or a heavy rain and things like that, you cannot arrest anybody. Whereas, on the other hand, and you can't take anybody to the court because of that. Or, suppose you're walking, sometimes an avalanche happens, or a large piece of earth comes down from the hill. People die in that situation, underneath that, isn't it? Will you put the stone into the, take you to the court? And can you put the stone into the jail? You can't do anything there, isn't it? So when anything happens in the nature, you can't use your court or your punishment or anything on anybody at that time. You have to accept it. You have no choice there. Why is it like that? Reason is that the punishment what you are giving to anybody is to his ego, to the mind. It is in the mind all this punishment is. Our court, what we punish somebody, it's all in the mind. It's all in relationship with his ego. It has nothing to do with the action. Why is that? When something happens in the nature, whom will you punish? Whom can you punish? It's coming from Krishna. What will you do? So, therefore it is mentioned like this, that say a soldier, he kills a lot of people in the battlefield. And when he comes back, if he has done very well in the battlefield, we honor him, isn't it? We give him a lot of honor, giving all kinds of recognition. And think about this, and you think about our legal arrangements also. Sometimes we don't even know whether we have killed somebody or not, but on the decision of the jury or on the court decision, that person, even though there is not 100% proof, still he gets punished by that. In the eyes of the law here, isn't it? Anywhere in the world it is like that. Whereas when naturally some death happens, we can't punish anybody. It's only within our community, human society, that we have this set up. So this law, what we have created, has its own limitations. What it is pointing out to us is that our law, in the eyes of Krishna, it is a joke. It doesn't mean anything more than that, is it not? Krishna is saying that to us, that because we have ego, all of us have ego inside, and therefore we have set up a system like this, that we have to punish somebody when he does something wrong. But when Krishna is doing this, whom will you punish? When the material nature is doing that, whom will you punish? Who will you take to the court? Whom can you punish? You can't do anything about it, isn't it? So why is that? Because when Ishvara does something, it is not done with abhimanam. There is no ego behind it. Ahankaram is not there. He has done, the karmam has come through him for whatever reasons. There must be a reason behind it. When earthquake happens, when floods happen, or when any other material disasters happen, there is always Krishna behind it. But you can't ask Krishna why you have done that. We just accept it. But within our human society, if one person commits a crime, whether it is 100% proven or not, still we are very particular of putting him into the court of justice and punishing him. What does that indicate? It's only indicating one thing, that because we all have these individual egos, to satisfy that ego, we have to do it. Otherwise, that is how human society survives. Everything is based on the ego. So that is why so Krishna says here that the cause of any distress is not karmam. Karmam is not the cause of the distress. One whose pride and ego has completely disappeared, and he will never have any kind of distress coming from karmam. Karmam will not have any influence on his actions. The distress and happiness is coming because of the ownership. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. This is the point Krishna is pointing out. It's a very, very important point in spiritual life to understand that distress and happiness in karmam is not coming from the karmam because of the presence of ego inside the person. It is he who is getting punished, it is he who gets praised. Both. Whether it, that is the important principle. And that is the point Krishna is going to drive it into the next verse. We will see that later. So Krishna is saying here, a person who has transcended this kind of law, what the human society has created, or one who has gone beyond this, in him there is no ego. Whatever happens through him, karma happens through him, it will not create any distress in that person. It will not limit him into anything. It will not bind him. He will not be subjected to birth and death either. Because kartrutva bhoktrutva has gone from him, ahankaram has gone, therefore there is no birth or death after him, after that, for him, for that person. If you look into Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Patanjali puts it very nicely, this thing. He says there, how he says is, that klesha, karma, vibhaga ashaye paramrishta, purusha vishesha, ishvara. Patanjali's definition of ishvara. In the Yoga Sutram, if you look Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, he says, klesha karma vibhagashai paramrishta purusha vishesha ishvara. Ishvara is a special person. It's a special kind of being, untouched by ignorance and the products of ignorance, not subject to karma or samskaram or the results of action. This is the definition of Ishvara according to Patanjali. In the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is talking about Ishvara, he says, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hrdeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. Krishna's function as Ishvara is situated within the heart as Andaryami. He takes responsibility for brahmayan sarvabhudani to get us rotated through this cycle of birth and death. All of us, individually, he is present inside us to control that. So, klesha karma vibhagam. That means klesha karma vibhagam. Klesha means miseries from the material life of the karma, what we have done here, or their maturity later, vibhagam. All of them will not touch Ishvara. Will not touch Ishvara. So, what does samsara means then? Material existence means. In reality, all the material miseries, the karma, and all their after effects, in reality, it doesn't touch us. In reality, it doesn't touch the Atma. Doesn't touch the Atma. But when does it not touch us? Provided we are in the status of Atma. We are situated as Atma. When we are present in this world as Atma, at that time, klesham, karma, vibhagam will not touch us. It cannot cause any problem for us. That is what Patanjali is also saying. That means if I am situated in the platform of soul, these problems of material life cannot bother me, cannot disturb me, isn't it? That is what the knowledge of the self means. But if you are staying in this world as body, or if you are living in this world as the mind, then you will not be able to free yourself from that. So, even now, we are as Atma only. We are not different from Atma, even now. But what it is, the problem is, at the moment, it's all mixed up with the body and the mind. We are mixed up with our identity now. Atma, we are still Atma, but we are mixed up with the body and the mind. Body and the mind. even at this moment in time, right now, that if you analyze, you can see here that Atma has no connection with the body, no connection with the mind, no connection with the intelligence. It is not even touching them, any of them. He is present inside, but he has no contact with any of the other things. They are separate from Atma. And in reality, there is no kartrutvam or bhoktrutvam. That I am the doer or I am the enjoyer also doesn't exist. So, you can see here, When I say kartrutva means I am the doer, it means it's only in my memory that I am saying I have done that. If I say to somebody I have done such and such a thing, it's in my memory that I have done such and such a thing. So many times you can observe these things. Some things what we have done in the past, we may not even remember now. That is the indication. If I have done that, it should remain in the Atma. Is it not? But many things what I have done, I can't even remember now. What does that mean? It only means that it has not touched me. It was only in my mind or it's only in my memory. And when it goes away from the memory, it goes. It has never touched me. That's the proof of that. If something that has touched, if I am the doer, Atma has done something, Atma should know that it has done and it should remain in the Atma because Atma's nature is like that. But the fact that I have done something even a few days ago, I can't remember now I have done that. I have forgotten. It hasn't touched Atma. That is the proof that Atma is not a part of action. Atma is not at all involved in the action. This separation is necessary because otherwise we will continue to act on the... This is called avidya. Avidya means all of these things. That self is not identifying with any work, any karma in this world. So, sometimes we say, oh, somebody has to remind you, you've done this before, haven't you? I say, I know, I don't think so. I can't remember. I say like that. Something somebody says to me, reminds me, that you've done this before, you've done the same mistake before, you're doing it again. I say, no, I don't think I've done that before. So if I have done that, I should be able to remember that, isn't it? The fact that I've forgotten shows that it has not, it is only a false thing in my head, in my memory. Only I kept it for a short period of time and then it has gone. Then it has gone. Jokingly, they say, give this example. One man has married many times. And then finally, one day, he saw one of his old wives somewhere. He met up with her. And they said, he says to her, I've seen you before somewhere, he says to her. So she also says to him, yeah, I do remember. We have met somewhere before, haven't we? He said, this kartrutva boktrutva is like that. That I am the doer and I am the enjoyer is also like that. That something, what you think that you have done something, but falsely what the body and the mind has done, you have projected that onto the self. Self has not done anything. This is the important thing. Self hasn't done anything. We have falsely projected the activities of the mind and the body and the intelligence on the self. That's where things went wrong. And what body, mind, intelligence has done was in the memory for some time. And afterwards it disappeared. That is why when he met one of his old wives, he could not even remember that he has married her. And he has forgotten all that. So many things happened in life, in this whole flow of life, many things happen. And we forget so many things, isn't it? When you are 15 or 20, what you have done, many things you can't remember now. So all this kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam is also like that. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is not in the self. It is only in the mind, it's only in the memory. It's only in the memory. In other words, this thing called the false ego has only that much importance. This is the point Krishna is driving at. The thing called the false ego has only that much importance. We give too much importance to this false ego. That's where everything goes wrong. It is not knowledge. That is called avidya. That giving importance to false ego and the activities of the false ego and imposing all that on the self is called avidya. Ajnanam or avidya, isn't it? So, pride or ego, whatever we call it, or ahankaram, this is only a false thing in us, inside us. Actually, only Krishna exists here. Atma only exists here. And that is our swarupam is also like that, pure, sachidananda rupoham. Aham evaham avyayam. Satta chitta anandam is our nature also. It is also Krishna's nature. Krishna is Sachidanandam. We are also Sachidanandam. We are also eternal. We are also blissful. We are also knowledge, full of knowledge. But the difference is that we have got mixed up and we became jiva with the effect of false ego from there, isn't it? So the moment we move away from Krishna, when we lose that identity with Krishna, then you can see here that distress comes to us. We experience distress here. So normally people will say this, does that mean that you become God? You don't become God. That's not what it means. That what it means is that you don't become separated from Krishna. It is that separation that causes the problem. When you lose your identity, the relationship with Krishna is Sachidanandam, we are also Sachidanandam, isn't it? If you will see in the Shastram everywhere, we, living entity, is also Satyachitanandam. Krishna is also Satyachitanandam. But the moment we lose that Satyachitanandam, Sachidanandam identity, and we become identified with the body, mind, intelligence, then ego comes in, and then we get separated from Krishna's identity. So, you will see this in the Bhagavatam. Who says this? Kavi Maharshi says this. If you remember, when Kavi spoke to Nimi, what did he say to him? Kavi says to Nimi, Manye kudas chil bhayam achudasya, padambujo vasanam atranityam. Remember that verse? In the Agalisha Skandam, if you look, Kavi Maharshi says this in the second chapter. In the second chapter, he says there that, 33. Manye kudas chil bhayam achudasya, padambujo vasanam atranityam, udhikna buddhe asadalma bhaval, vishwalmana yatra nivartade bhi. This is that verse, talking about it. Manye kudas chil bhayam achudasya, padambujo vasanam atranityam, Uddhidna buddhe asadalma bhaval, vishwalmana yatra nivartade bhim. And you will also see there again, bhayam didiyal, 37. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesadasyal, ishadabedasya vibaryayo smriti, tanmaya yado buddhamapajetvam, bhattyegayesham gurudevadalma. That important words. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal. Kavi says here. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abedasya vibharyayo smriti. Then, tan maya yado buddha avajetam bhaktega yesham guru devadalma. So, how Krishna is, Kavi is saying there that because of avidya, bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishad abedasya vibharyayo smriti, tan maya yado buddha abhajetvam bhaktega yesham guru devadalma. So, from avidya comes fear. Avidya means ajnanam. What is that ajnanam? Ajnanam is this. Sachidanandam is my identity, nature. Krishna's nature is also Sachidanandam. But when Krishna is engaged in action, there is no reaction. So many actions Krishna is performing here. But Krishna is never bound by any action, isn't it? Whether he kills a demon or he saves a devotee, there is no reaction of that in Krishna. Whereas if we kill somebody, we get punished by the court of law. So from avidya comes fear. That is the important point. So many things, that verse is very important. Krishna says, Kavi says there, Bhayam didiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishada vedasya vibaryayo smriti tanmaya yadho budama bhajetvam bhaktega yesham guru devadalmam avidyamano pyavadi hidvayo dhyadurdhiya svapnamano radhav yatham tal karma sangalpa vigalpagam mano budho nirudhyadhavayam tadasyal. If you want details, we have to go back to those classes when we discuss those verses in detail. Avidyamanobi avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhiya svapnamano radho yatha. So avidya is the cause of the fear, and fear means what? Fear means the six kinds of emotions that it creates. Which one? Kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, atsaryam. That means lust, anger, greed, and illusion, and fear, and competition, and all other kinds of things that comes from this fear. Fear is the byproduct of fear, or it's from the fear everything comes. All these different emotions is a product of the fear inside. It's a product of the fear inside. Why does that? What does the fear does? Fear makes us feel that we are limited, limited being, isn't it? But if I become complete, purnada, perfection comes in me. Where is fear then? Fear cannot touch me, is it not? So when I am situated in the limited level, in the limited platform, parichinnatvam as we call it, or if I am limited only to this body, and if I have identification with the body and the mind, when I am limited, then there is always, there is fear. That is never going to go away. At the same time, or as a personality, vyaktitvam is present there. That is what Kavi Maharshi is very, explained it very well in those verses. Bhayam didiyal abhinivesadasyal ishad avedasya viparyayo smriti. If you could go back to those verses when we had discussed that in the Ekadasham. They are famous verses in the Bhagavatam. Avidyamano avabhadihi dvayo dhyadurdhya swapna mano rethau yatham tal karma sangalpa vikalpagam mano budho nirindhyadhavayam tatasyal. Kshrunvan subhadrani radhangapani janmani karmani jayani loke gitani namani tadarthakani gayan vilajyo vijared asangaham. And to make it more explicitly to us, a person who has realized it, what will happen to him? He is not limited to anymore to this one body. What is happening to him? Kambayu magnim salilam mahimcha janeshu sattveshu disho drumadin saril samudram shahare shariram yal kinjabudam praname dananyaham. That is that. See, in the first few verses, he told us where the fear is coming from. Fear is coming from due to being limited to one body and identifying with one body, mind, intelligence like that. But when he gets released from this bodily identity, when he comes to the platform of the self, Atma, at that time what happens to him? Kam vayu magnim salilam mahim cha. The whole creation, which is includes the sky, the air, the fire, the water, the earth, jyotimsi sattvani nishodrumadin, all the planetary systems, everything, saril samudram shahare shariram, including all the rivers, the oceans, everything is Krishna. Is Krishna for him. It is Krishna's body, all that is. And yal kinja bhutam praname dananyaha. And what does he do? He pays obeisances to everything in this world. Because wherever he looks, what he finds is Krishna. Finds is Krishna. Krishna's presence is experienced in his, in the self. So you can see here that where did this personality coming then? How did this personality develop? The moment we have broken up from our relationship with Krishna, personality has come. Personality has come. You can see this. In Sushupti, there is no fear. Have you noticed? In Sushupti, deep sleep state, there is no fear, isn't it? Nobody has fear in the Sushupti state. So, so you can understand this, then it is one of the examples to show to us that when the ahankaram die, fear goes away. When ahankaram is inside or ego is inside, fear comes back. Only due to the presence of ahankaram, I experience fear in the world. I experience fear in this world. So, so one sometimes some children. One person was sleeping in one of the one cot outside in the heat in the night time. Some boys, out of fun, they carried him with the bed and put him in a cemetery where bodies are burned. They put him there. He was sleeping. He didn't know. They carried him and put him there. When he woke up in the morning, he didn't know anything at night that he was sleeping in the cemetery. Cemetery is considered to be a place where people get frightened, isn't it? So, when he woke up in the morning, he realized that he was sleeping in the cemetery. You should realize that. But when he slept, he didn't know anything about it. So, what you can see here, that as soon as he woke up from the sleep, the desham, kalam, both has come in. Time and the place has had its effect on him straight away. Had its effect on him. So, when they came, along with that fear also came. When he realized that, oh, I was sleeping in this place whole night, he got frightened. But he was not feeling that when he was sleeping. In the deep sleep, he didn't have it. So, you can see, when you are limited by time, when you are limited by place, time, place or circumstances like that, along with that, fear also comes inside. Fear also comes inside. That is what he is saying here. Ishad abedasya viparyayo smriti. That means, Ishad abedasya viparyayo smriti. When you have fallen away from your relationship with Krishna, that means in the deep sleep state, you didn't experience any fear. You didn't have any fear. But when you woke up, Ishad abedasya viparyayo smriti. That relationship, in the deep sleep state, we have the closest connection with Krishna. We are so close to Krishna in the deep sleep state. Not in the vacant state. We think in the vacant state we are close to Krishna. Most of the people think like that, isn't it? It's not. It is in the vacant state we are the most distant from Krishna. Closest situation is while in the deep sleep state. So, not only that, in Sushupti what has happened is that not that consciously I got that state. I didn't get it consciously. It has happened by Krishna's arrangement. Is it not? When we go into deep sleep state, not that I'm consciously going into it. Is it not? I don't go into deep sleep state consciously. I went to bed, listening to some kirtan or music or whatever, and suddenly, from nowhere, you don't know how, it happened. Deep sleep state, isn't it? I didn't do anything. You haven't done anything. But when you go into deep sleep state, that is the time when you have no fear, when you have no individuality or personality, but there you are in a state completely free from all kinds of problems, what Kavi has spoken here, isn't it? So, Sushupti, So, what is happening here is that we in the deep sleep state, without our effort, Krishna has taken us towards Him. Krishna has taken us with Him. When we say Krishna has taken us with Him means that in that deep sleep state, what is happening? That is what you have to look at. That individual jiva, it loses its ego, and it experiences its bliss in association with Krishna. It's not that Krishna comes and personally holds your hand every deep sleep state and takes you there. It is the system is such that jivalma loses its jivatvam, its individual ego, ahankaram, all goes away and it becomes one with Krishna as paramatma. Jivalma, paramatma, your aikyam. Oneness with Jivatma and Paramatma happens there. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions this in the avyaktam vyakti mahapannam, that avyaktam state, that is what that is, isn't it? So in Sushupti state, not being conscious, but I have become one with Krishna at that time. I have become one with Krishna at that time. So all these things is there in the samadhi also. In samadhi state also, this is what happens. So, but in samadhi, when you are experiencing, it is happening when you are fully conscious of that. You are completely conscious of that in samadhi. That is the difference. That is the difference. But in what is happening in sushupti, you are not conscious of that, that it is happening. In samadhi state, it happens and you are fully conscious of that. Why you are not conscious of that in the sushupti? Because of the avidya. That is what is the problem. Because there is avidya inside, that, remember this karana shariram, that is that avidya. When karana shariram goes away, when sushma shariram goes away completely, when both are finished, then you are free to go. Free to go. Then there is only one state, that is that samadhi state. So, so because of avidya or ajnanam, ignorance, we are not aware of our connection with Krishna at that time. When we go and meet up with Jivalma, meet up with Andaryami in the Sushupti state, we are not aware of that. Reason for that is because of the Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram means avidya. Avidya is that baggage is in the Karana Shariram. So, in Sushupti state, because of avidya, we do not know that. And that Sushupti state is perfect in that Sushupti avastha. Sushupti state, it is perfect on its own. But only problem is, it is of no use to us in the Jagrat. When we come to vacant state, we are losing it. Therefore, even though in Sushupti it is perfect, it is of no use to me, because when I come to vacant state, I am losing it. That is the problem. If you are losing it, then what is the point? You are enjoying it in the Sushupti, is it not? But when you come to vacant state, and what we need is, in the vacant state, we want that experience, what is in the deep sleep state, isn't it? So, but in the vacant state, consciously it happens. This happens consciously. That means, without ego, I am able to stay in the vacant state. And at that time, if I am able to remain unbroken, not separated from that Andaryami, being one with Andaryami, if I am able to stay in that state, in the vacant state, then I have achieved perfection. I have achieved perfection. Instead, if I remain always completely separated from Krishna, as an individual false ego, with individuality and personality, then I have to accept birth and death, I have to accept birthday and death day and everything. Because, therefore, in Upanishad says to us, consciously, you have to forget that you were born. It has to happen to us. When you celebrate birthday, this is the problem. Consciously, you are celebrating that you were born and you are increasing your avidya inside. It is for this reason we don't agree with this birthday business. Because what is birthday doing? You are making you feel that you are born. Whereas what's our identity, actual identity? Na jayate, na mriyate. That is the nature of the Atma. Atma has no birth, Atma has no death. Na jayate, na mriyate, va kadachil, nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuyaha. Ajaha, nityaha, shashvadoyam puranam, nahanyade hanyamani sharirem. So, that is why in the olden days people used to say, if you can forget your birthday, it's the best. If you can forget your birthday. Because what it does is, it's only adding one more layer of avidya into already the whatever amount of avidya inside we have got. Isn't it? So, nowadays people are very conscious about that. Even if you forget it, somebody will remind you. They'll send you a card or an email or something like that and make you, break you, put that avidya, strongly inject it into you. Even if you don't have it, they will make sure that you are celebrated that, so that we can all together be happy together, cutting the cake and enjoying that, isn't it? So, they'll tell you that, you know, this is the day you were born. So, what exactly they are doing is, they are reminding you of your own shraddham. This birthday is nothing but a shraddham. The shraddham, when do you perform shraddham? After death, isn't it? Shraddham every day, every anniversary, one year is gone after death, you perform the Shraddha ceremony. So similarly, 1 year is gone, that means you are one year more closer to your Shraddha ceremony. So that is the way it is going on. Avidya, how strong the avidya inside is, that's the point we are trying to point out here. So just before, they are celebrating when they are 90. And in the year 91 he is going to leave the body. That means he has got only 1 year. 1 year more only left to start his Shraddha ceremony from then on. So Krishna is saying here, this thing called birth, death, all we have to learn to forget it. Rather than making it more conscious of it. Important point is, Krishna is making is, we have to learn how to forget this thing called birth and death. Thing called birth and death. And learn how to remain in that state of akhandatvam. Parichinnatvam should not happen. Instead, akhandatvam, unbroken state, like they say about Sukadeva Goswami, isn't it? Tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. That is the state of consciousness necessary for self-realization. So even when we have to forget the land, name, our own name, we have to learn to forget. Our own place where we are born, even that you have to forget. Namarupam, name and form has to be forgotten. In other words, unless we give up our personality, vyaktitvam, individuality, if you leave that behind, if you forget all that, we will realize that we become unbroken. Akhandatvam will come back to us. And you will see that your connection with Krishna is complete. That is the consciousness that has to develop within us. So, in reality, only Krishna exists. Only Atma exists here. And Atma is manifesting in this world in different names, different forms. That's all it is. In different names and different forms is manifesting. All these names and forms will disappear one day. But what ultimately finally remains is only Atma. Is only Atma. And little by little, Krishna says, these things what we have imposed on ourselves, like in the form of this birthday, death anniversary and so many other nonsensical things which is not in us. It's all in relationship with the gross body and the subtle body and mind and intelligence. Nothing to do with Atma. Atma has nothing to do with birth or death. Nothing to do with old age, disease, nothing, none of them. And if consciously, if we remove all these things from inside, all these false identities what we have imposed inside, what they call it as adhyaropam. It is called adhyaropam. Adhyaropam means falsely what you have put inside us. Put inside us. Each one of us has put inside us, stacked up a lot of avidya inside in this form. And if you can throw it away one after the other, then what Krishna is saying here, sarvadharman parityajya means actually refers to that. Removing away all this ignorance from inside, and you will be able to remain in that state of akhandagaram. Akhandagaram means that you will realize who you are. That I am nothing to do with this body, nor with identity with anything else. And that is the point Krishna is telling us in the next verse. If you look at the next verse, you will see what Krishna is bringing back to us again to this important understanding that whatever you have thrown inside you and identified you with the falsity in this world, man, woman, and different identities, whatever that way, if you have thrown them away all from inside, you will come to your proper state of consciousness. In order to say that, Krishna is saying in this verse, this is one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita, that this next verse, which is the 17th verse, what Krishna says, and that you have to look at the connection between the 16th and the 17th verse. Whatever we have spoken so far, the 16th verse was completely to open up our ignorance first. Only after talking about our ignorance, Krishna wants to tell us what is the right thing. See how Krishna's approach is. First he tells us how ignorant we are. And that ignorance is the one he called this word, nasapashyadi durmadi, he says. You're durmadi. That one person who has imposed all identities on himself and thinking that he is properly situated, he is an idiot. That's not the word. He is an idiot, he says. And after saying that, Krishna says, a man who has got proper intelligence, what will he be?
Yasya nahankrito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate hatvabi sa iman lokan nahandi na nibhadyate yasya nahankrito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyate hatvabi sa iman lokan Nahandina nibhadyade.
Just see these two verses, 16 and 17. How opposing they are, each other. 16 is avidya. 17 is self-realized state. Totally opposite. 16 is avidya. Avidya means that he mentions there, Pashya tagrda buddhitval sapashyadi durmadi. That everything what he does in this world, is ajnani, completely in ignorance. Why? Because he is totally in identification with the body and the mind and the intelligence and the ego. Ego is operating everywhere. It is in the pretext of ego, individuality, ego, personality. In that way, he is operating in that world 16. When it comes to 17, yasyana ahankrito bhavo, this ahankaram, ahankritam, has gone from him. Na ahankrito bhavo, buddhir yasyana lipyade. Where is that ahankaram? Ahankaram is in his intelligence. It is registered somewhere in the brain. Somewhere. Buddhi means not in that material sense that buddhi here. Buddhi actually means that where he has made that decision, decision making point, place in the body. Decision making place, you can say. Because in the shastram, nishayalpiya buddhi, that is the definition. Nishyalmiya means where decision is made. I don't know what psychological interpretation of buddhi is, but as far as shastram is concerned, nishyalmiya buddhi, wherever the decision is made inside us. We all have made certain decisions already inside us. That is why we do certain things in life, isn't it? Somebody has decided that he wants to follow in the spiritual life. That's a decision in a very subtle level he has made inside. That is why he is engaged in spiritual life. Somebody else has made a decision that I want to make a lot of money in life. And that is why his life is busy with making money. Nothing else goes on here. So according to that decision that is made inside, which Krishna calls in the second chapter as Vyavsayalpmiya Buddhi. That is the buddhi he is referring to. Vyavsayalpmiya Buddhi, whatever decision he has made inside, accordingly he will act in this world. Isn't it? So that Vyavsayalpmiya Buddhi, Ekeha Kurunandana, Krishna says. So similarly, it is that buddhi here. Yasya na ahankrito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade. If he has no ahankaram in his buddhi, then whatever he is doing, na lipyade, it won't stick to him. You see? It's very important. That yasya na ahankrito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade. It won't stick to him. Hatvabisa iman lokan na handi na nibhadyade. And that person, whatever he does in this world, nahandi na, he is not killing anybody. If he kills somebody, he is not killing anybody. Nahandi na nibhadyade, and he is not bound either. And this is Krishna state. Mahabharata war, how many? 6 million, 640 million people got killed. Everybody says Krishna is responsible. Krishna says, I am not responsible. And you can't take him to the court either. This is the state. Why? On the strength of this verse. This is the, Krishna will say this verse at that time. If you ask him, this will be his answer. If you say to Krishna, how many people Krishna has killed? When he had to kidnap Rukmini, he had to fight and kill many people. Balaram killed Rukmini. And all 10th canto, if you look, it's nothing but a series of killing. Krishna is a serial killer there, from beginning to end, isn't it? If you look at 10th canto, right from the childhood it started, and right up to the last minute, kept on killing, 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 killing. But Krishna's answer is this verse. Yasya na ahankrito bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade atvabisa iman lokan na handi na nibhadyade. That is the truth. Krishna is saying that.
That's just Krishna is saying like that. So, so one who does not have the false ego, that person, his intelligence will not be affected by the karma. And there is no attachment there. And even if he destroyed this world, he is not doing anything and he is not bound by anything. So that is the most important point Krishna is making here. Yes, yeah. Let's see the explanation to that. Yasya Shastra Acharya Upadesha Nyayam Samskrutatmano Na Bhavati Aham Krudaha Aham Karta Idi Evam Lakshano Bhavo Bhavana Prateha Ede Eva Panja Adhishtana Deha Avidya Almani Kalpidaha Sarva Karmanam Kartaraha Na Aham Aham Tu Tad Vyaparanam Sakshi Bhudaha Aprano Amanaha Shubhro Acharat Paraha Kevalaha Avikriyaha Ityevam Pashyati Iti Etat Iti Etat. So he is saying here that that Shastram, as I saw he mentions here, what the Shastram does? Shastram and the Acharya's instructions, the spiritual master's instructions, and the logic centered around the Shastram. One studies the Shastram. Why do we study Shastram? Shastram helps us to systematically and logically understand things. Is it not? Generally, we have a lot of avidya inside. What we have got is a storage of avidya. Instead, Shastram enlightens us and makes us aware of things in a very systematic way. Shastram puts in front of us. Logically, it explains to us, like Krishna does in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? The science of the soul, Krishna explains to us. And when it is explained to us in the way Krishna has spoken, we are willing to accept it, understand it and accept it. So similarly, these things create samskaram in a person. Which one? Shastram, Acharya's instructions, and also the knowledge of the Shastram. So such people, those who have got that, generally they will not have this ego. Ego, they get freed from the ego. Ego. And not only that, they also know very well, if they have studied Shastram and Shastram has influenced them, then they know that they are not the doers. They are fully conscious of that. They are fully conscious of that. Because there is ignorance in a person, that is why he thinks that he is the doer. This, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, is purely due to ignorance, not due to proper knowledge inside. Not due to proper knowledge inside. So, and he will also realize what Krishna spoke, those five things, Adhishtanam, Tada Karta, Cheshta, Cheshta, Karanam Chapatakvidam, Cheshta, Devam, Chaivatra Panchamam. So those five things, which Adhishtanam, Karta, Karanam, Cheshta, Devam. These five things, what Krishna has spoken before, he will also knows that all these things are nothing but a witness of the karma. Witness of the karma, isn't it? If you know those five things very well, you can see there that fifth one, Devam, is the force that is independent of the other four. Deham, Shariram is Adhishtanam. Karta, Adhishtanam Tada Karta, Cheshta, Karanam. Four things. These four things is absorbed in the karma. Devam, Jaivatra, Panchamam. That fifth one is the observer of everything who decides what results must come from that. So, combination of this four and this Devam, fifth, decides what karmam and the results of the karmam should be. That's how it happens. So, a person who has knowledge of the Shastram properly, he knows that he has nothing to do with the karmam. Why? These four things are going on and Devam is influencing the decision. I am only a witness. I am only a witness. That is what this verse is saying. This only saying. Because I am not pranan, I am not the mind, and I realize that my actual identity as Jiva is my connection with Antaryami, Paramatma inside. I have only one relationship, and that is with the Paramatma, not with the body or the mind. But due to Ajnanam, Avidya in me, I am identifying, instead of with Paramatma, I am identifying with the body, with the mind. And therefore, I suffer. So, that is what he is saying here. So, one who does not have that abhimanam or pride or ego inside, one who does not have, I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, one who does not have that, where is that abhimanam gone? Where did that pride go? How did that go? That is what Krishna is saying in that verse. Due to the, when the ignorance went away, that yasya nahankrudo bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatvabisa imam lokan na handi na nibhadyade. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men in this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. See that verse, what Krishna is saying there? This verse is 17, is exactly the opposite of 16. 16 is presenting in front of us a person who identifies with the body and the after effect of all the karma, what he does in this world. That's all the 16. 17th verse is totally opposite to that. Krishna is saying to us that one who has no ego inside, one whose ego is gone from inside, due to what? Due to knowledge of the self by the Shastram. And when the ignorance has gone away, he also lost along with that. How do you say the ignorance has gone? Because kartrutvam has gone. I am the doer has gone away from him. Such a person, that karta, karmam, cheshta, devam, all these things, he realizes that it is only exist due to avidya. That's the point Krishna is pointing out to us. That in the few verses before, he said, karmam is controlled by these five factors. Which one? Adhishtanam, karta, karanam, cheshta, devam. Through Shastram, the knowledge of the Shastram, when one has realized it, he understands that karmam is happening, for that I am not responsible. The body, the mind and the senses who are a part of that activity, when he says body, it includes the mind, senses, and then the senses, and then the activities, and I am the doer, all these things are happening and it is being directed by devam, who controls it and who decides what result should come from that karma. Krishna is saying here that when he realizes that through knowledge of the Shastram, what will happen? He will realize this one thing, all these five factors is nothing but ignorance. That's gone then. It is because only when you are ignorant, those five factors apply. When you have realized the self, these five factors don't apply anymore. They actually, in reality, they don't exist. Because of ajnanam inside, avidya inside, due to identification with the body, mind, all these five factors exist. The moment you have got released from that, due to the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, and you have realized that in Atma, I am Atma, Aham Brahmasmi, if that understanding has come inside, then whatever karma is happening, you are only a witness. And at that point, these five factors becomes invalid. They are not valid anymore. They don't exist in reality. So therefore, and those things are actually superimposed on me due to kalpidam. Atma, in the Atma, it is kalpidam. So, naham karta, naham bhokta. I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. And due to that, I am not the enjoyer, I am not the doer. Instead, I am the Atma, I am the soul. So because he has started experiencing the presence of Atma inside as his identity, therefore nothing will give him any problem anymore. That's what Krishna is saying in that verse. He will have no problems once he has realized this. So we must take these two verses, 16 and 17, and analyze it well. It's important because 16th verse is our present state. 17th verse is Krishna's state. And as we went through the last verse, we have seen that in our present situation in avidya, we require the court of justice, the law, the punishment, everything. All due to what? Due to false ego, avidya. Avidya means false ego. Once the false ego is gone, and when there is no avidya, even if karmam happens through that body, he is not punished. And that is why Krishna is not punished, Ishvara is not punished. Why? There is no identification with the ego. All the karma, Krishna has also done so much karma here, is it not? When Krishna was here in this world, how much karma, from beginning to end, it was a continuous activity, Krishna's life here, was it not? Right up to the point when he was leaving this planet, it was activity after activity. Finally, before he left, there was this problem within the family members, among the Yadavas. He created a fight among them, made them to fight each other, kill each other, and after that he left. When you read all that, you start seeing that Krishna's activities are unlimited activities he has performed here. But what was that exclusively to note here is this: Krishna's activities, our activities, is different. Our activities is all based on ego. Krishna's activities are all based on this verse. That is why when you study Bhagavad Gita, that verse in the Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tatvada Tektua Deham Punar Janma Neidi Ma Meidi So Arjuna. When Krishna says that, isn't it? When you understand Krishna's birth is not like our birth. Krishna's karmam is not like our karmam. Why? What is the difference? Difference is this, that our karmam is all under the guidance of the false ego. And we impose all these five factors into us, in our actions. Shariram, Karta, Karanam, Cheshta and Devam. All these are present in us. Krishna's karmam, there is no doer there. There is no hangaram there. Therefore, anything these five factors also are not present in Krishna's karmam. That is that difference. So this really understanding, if it comes, then you have understood that verse also. Janma karma cha me divyam. So such a person, Krishna says, buddhir yasya na lipyade. See that verse there? He says, yasya na ahankrido bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade. In other words, in his buddhi, nothing is sticking there. Nothing is sticking there. Otherwise, you can see, if you have done something good, there will be an impression inside, is it not? And similarly, if you have done something bad, also, there will be an impression inside. There will be an impression inside. And in Krishna's case, when he does something, there is no impression created inside. Suppose if we do something good in this world, there will be an impression in us. I have done that, is it not? I've done that. That impression will be there. And I'll tell a few people I've done this, something good or bad. So even if you do a bad thing, that impression will be there inside. It won't go easily, isn't it? It will remain inside as an impression. But Krishna says here, a person like Krishna's case, for example, yasena ahankrido bhavo. In Krishna's case, there is no ahankaram while doing anything. Therefore, buddhir yasya na lipyade. Nothing stick to his buddhi. And therefore, nahandi na nibhadyade. Therefore, Krishna says, nahandi na nibhadyade. He does not kill anybody. He doesn't kill anybody. Even if he has killed the whole world. So now you know how Mahabharatam is justified. That even though everybody was killed, Krishna says, I have not killed anybody. And he stands up and says to us, this is spiritual understanding. This is knowledge, isn't it? And not only that, Krishna is not bound by anybody, anything what he has done. Can he, a person who has come to that stage, can he kill anybody? That's a question we have to ask. That if you have to kill someone, you have to have ragam or dvesham inside, is it not? Without ragam dvesham, you can't act. Suppose I tell you to go and kill somebody, you won't go and kill him unless you have something against that person, is it not? In the same way, suppose I have to beat up somebody, I must have something against him, isn't it? Otherwise, if I'm walking through the street, somebody is walking other way, I'm not bothered who is going there. He's going his way, I'm going my way. Why should I bother? That'll be my approach, isn't it? But if I hate towards someone, that I will think, if I have to beat him up, I'll think about that. Would I not? So a person who has come out of that I am inside, such a person, for him, there is no another person separately from him. Only when I am limited to my own body, I am identifying with this body, then I am seeing another person in that body. If I don't see myself identifying with this body, then I won't see that person identifying with his body either. Identifies his body. That is why Krishna says, he cannot hate that person if he has come to this identification with the self. If I am identifying with the body, my body, I will see someone else also as identifying with his body. If I don't identify with my own body, instead I identify with Atma inside, then I will see that person also not in identification with the body, as the separately from the body. Now, Vijugupsade, Shuddhi says like that. If you look into the same thing is there, 6th and 7th mantra in the Ishopanishad. It's exactly the same point. Ishopanishad says this in a very nice way. You can look at that. Ishopanishad says, 6th and 7th mantra, if you look, you will see. Yastu, 6th one. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmani eva anupashyati sarva bhudeshu chalmanam tato na vijugupsade. See that? Krishna says, Ishopanishad says that, yastu sarvani bhudani atmani eva anupashyati sarva bhudeshu chalmanam tato na vijugupsade. He who systematically sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. That's the 6th one. And the 7th one also is the same thing. Yastu yasmin sarvani bhudani almeiva abhud vijanaha tatrako moha kashokaha egatvam anupashyati. Yasmin sarvani bhudani almeiva abhud vijanaha tatrako moha kashokaha egatvam anupashyati. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality of one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? That is those two verses. So, in such a state, when he is saying like that, as Atma, in that state he cannot hate anybody. And because he is seeing himself in them, not separately, because he is seeing that oneness there. Ekattvam anupashyati. Ekattvam means oneness. He is seeing that oneness in everybody. That it's me who is present in that. And of course in the Bhagavadam, in the beginning itself, the point, Sudha Goswami said this about Shiva Brahmarshi, isn't it? What did he say? Tam sarvabhuda hridayam manimana tosmi. I pay my obeisances to that son of Vyasadev. Tam sarvabhuda hridayam. Sarvabhuda hridayam. That is Shiva Brahmarshi's state of consciousness. Always in that state, sarvabhuta hridayam, present in everybody. Never limited to one body. I mentioned this before also. Because he is in that state, when he left Parikshit, he didn't say goodbye or anything to Parikshit. There is no point, because if Shukha Brahmarshi has said to Parikshit, I'll see you later, it means that it will look awkward, isn't it? He is in a state where he doesn't think he is separate from Parikshit. And Parikshit also, have we noticed, He didn't say that, when will I see you again? No. It has all come to this oneness, that state. Ekatvam anubhashyati. That oneness he is experiencing that at that time. I am not separated from the Atma. I am Atma, pure consciousness. No more identification with Shukha Brahmarshi's body or Parikshit's body. That body of Parikshit, or the picture what they have drawn in the Bhagavadam of Parikshit, or Sukadeva Goswami's picture and all that, that's all simply pictorial representation. That is not the real Parikshit or the real... If you ask anybody that, did he look like this? We will ask that question, is it not? Because when you see Vedavyasa Maharshi's picture, people start asking all sorts of questions. He doesn't look very impressive, isn't it? In that sense, that Parashara Maharshi's son from Satyavati Devi, Vedavyasa was born. So people, those who are in the identification with the body, they will only look at these things. But those who are seeing the spiritual side of life, they won't look at this body. So whatever picture you have drawn, it's okay. As far as the Vedavyasa is concerned, or Shukha Brahmarshi is concerned. If Shukha Brahmarshi will ever ask you that you draw my picture in the wrong way, this is not me, he won't tell you. He will say, everything is me. You can draw whichever way you like it. It's all same. Tam sarvabhuta hridayam nunim anandosmi. So that is the same thing here. That once this ragadvesham doesn't come, because you can see here, you see that verse? He says here in that seventh verse, tatra ko moha ka shokaha. There is no ragadvesham. The result of ragadvesham is shoka moham, isn't it? From ragam comes the shokam, and dvesham comes moham. Ragadvesham is nothing but shoka moham. So, tatra ko moha ka shokaha ekatvam anubhashyati. You are seeing the oneness in everything. So, once you have come to that oneness, where is the moham, where is shokam, where is ragam, where is dvesham? They have all gone away from inside. And because it has gone away, such a person, when he is seeing in everyone himself, and this is the same thing in the Bhagavadam. If you remember, when we talked about a first-class devotee, what is that spoken? It says there, what does that word say? What is that? Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet bhagavad bhavam alpmana bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. First-class devotee. So whether he is a jnani, whether he is a devotee, in realized state, it's one and the same thing. There is no difference at all. He is also seeing exactly like the way Jnani is seeing. Sarvabhudeshu yapashyet. Wherever he looks in all the living entities, he is seeing himself present there. Bhagavad Bhava. Bhagavad Bhava means Atma Bhava. As the presence of Atma there. Atma is Krishna. That is Bhagavad. When devotee says, he will say Bhagavad Bhava. When Jnani says, he will say Atma Bhava. That's all the difference is. Bhagavad Bhavam Alpana. Bhudani Bhagavadi Yesha Savai Bhagavadottama. And therefore, you can understand from that in such a state, you cannot have any hate towards anyone because you are there. How can you hate yourself when you are present everywhere? So, therefore, there is no dvesham. And once that stage has come, selfishness goes away. Where is selfishness coming from? When I am limiting myself to this body, I am this body, everything is me and attached to mine. Who said this? Rishabhadev said this. You remember? In his teachings to Bharata. If you look at, you will see there that Nunam Pramatta Kurude Vigarma Idindriya Prinayama Apninodi. There you will see one of the verses he says there. He mentions that. You can see in the fifth canto that this, when this സർവത്രമദ്ഭാവ വിചക്ഷണേന, 13th വേഴ്സ്, സർവത്രമദ്ഭാവ വിചക്ഷണേന ജ്ഞാനേന വിജ്ഞാന വിരാജിതേന യോഗേന ധൃത്യുദ്യമസത്വയുക്തോ ലിംഗം വ്യബോഹേത് കുശലോഹമാഖ്യം. യോഗേന ധൃത്യുദ്യമസത്വയുക്തോ ലിംഗം വ്യബോഹേത് കുശലോഹമാഖ്യം. സോ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദാറ്റ് നൂനം പ്രമത്ത കുരുദേ വികർമ്മ യദിന്ദ്രിയ പ്രീണയമാപ്നോതി ന സാധുമന്യേയത ആത്മനോയം അസന്നവീ ക്ലേശതമാസ ദേഹാം. പരാഭവസ്ഥാവതബോധജാതോ യാവന്ന ജിജ്ഞാസതം ആത്മതത്വം. യാവന്ന ജിജ്ഞാസത ആത്മതത്വം, സോ ലോങ് ആസ് എ പേഴ്സൺ ഹാസ് നോട്ട് കം ടു ദ പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം ഓഫ് ആത്മതത്വം, വൺ ഹു ഹാസ് നോട്ട് റിയലൈസ് ദാറ്റ് അബോധജാതോ യാവന്ന, അബോധജാതം, ഈസ് നോട്ട് വോക്കൺ അപ് ടു ദാറ്റ് റിയാലിറ്റി. യാവൽ ക്രിയാസ്ഥാവതിദം മനോവൈ കർമാത്മകം യേന ശരീരബന്ധാഹം. That whatever yaval kriya sthavadidam, whatever karmam he is performing here, mano vai karmalmagam, with his mind is karmam. And that karmalmagam, what does it? Yena sharira bandha. It will bind him. It will bind him to this body. Evam mana karma vasham prayukte avidyayalmanubadiyamane pradirnayamanmai vasudeve namuchyade deha yogena taval. So, due to avidya, when one engages in karma, it binds him. But when he gets released, pradirnayavanmai vasudeve, when karma is executed to please Krishna, which we discussed before, for Krishna's satisfaction, that means what Krishna says as karma yogam in the Bhagavad Gita, and what when Krishna says to Uddhava, he says to him that that when all when everything is performed to please Krishna. Kayena vaja manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakriti swabhaval karodi yadir sakalam varasmai narayanaya samarpayami. When it is executed in that way, he says here that pridirnayavanmai vasudeve namuchyade deha yogena taval. So yadala vashyatta yadha guneham swarthe pramatta sahasa vivaschil ഗതസ്മൃതിർവിന്ദതി തത്രതാവാൻ ആസാദ്യ മൈഥുന്യമകാരമന്യം പുംസസ്ത്രിയാ മൈഥുനീ ഭാവമേഹം തയോർമിതോ ഹൃദയഗ്രന്ഥിമാഹു അതോ ഗൃഹക്ഷേത്രസുതാപ്തവിത്തിർ ജനസ്യ മോഹോയമഹം മമേതി. അഹോ ഗൃഹക്ഷേത്രസുത ആപ്തവിത്തിർ ജനസ്യ മോഹോയമഹം മമേതി. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ലൈക് ദാറ്റ്. സോ ഇമ്പോർട്ടന്റ് തിങ് ടു റിമെമ്പർ ഹിയർ ഈസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി വെൻ ടിൽ വി കം ടു ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് of self-realization, this swarthada or selfishness will remain with us, being limited to this body. And once that selfishness is gone away, then that person cannot do anything bad. Bad karma cannot be done by him, and he cannot do anything in reality. And even if it becomes the cause of any karma in this world, and he, just like Arjuna had come to the battlefield and he conducted his warfare, he had to fight the battle under Krishna's after hearing Bhagavad Gita. But because Arjuna, although he fought the battle, it had no sinful reactions from that. Arjuna was not having any sinful reactions. We must not think, oh, Krishna didn't tell Arjuna, you fight, anything happens, I'll take care. Not like that. Arjuna understood who he is and then he fought the battle. It is because of that he did not get affected by the results of the actions. So, sometimes you can see people who have been in the army and forces, in the, you know, army, navy, air force and all that. After they have retired, sometimes you see them, they come for Srimad Bhagavatam classes and they hear Bhagavatam and you see them carrying Bhagavatam and reading Bhagavatam often themselves. They try to read the Bhagavatam. So, in their previous function as the soldier working in the army, they must have used a weapon, they must have killed people in their battlefield, they must have killed the people. So, but they do not have any of that remembrance inside. How many, no soldier remains, remembers this thing. I killed this soldier, that soldier. No, that was karma that has gone through that body. Gone through that body. So you will not find any soldiers generally, you won't find any kind of depression in his mind for having done that job. Because it was a job he had to do under the law. He had to function as a soldier, he did that work, and he did not get affected by that, isn't it? So, and similarly, just like the gun, it does not have any selfishness, isn't it? And if the gun doesn't think I am the doer or I am the enjoyer, there is no selfishness in the gun. And similarly, the gun does not have any ego either. Whoever uses the gun shoots without any obstruction. Similarly, the soldier also, he has done that work like the gun. And he has come from the field. And they have done their work in the same way. The soldier's work in the field is like the gun. He has done his work and he has come back. So, therefore, what is there? Therefore, he will not be affected by the pious results or sinful reactions. He won't have any sinful reactions. The soldiers who have fought the battle and where he has killed people, but he does not have any sinful reaction from that. He does not remember that whom he has killed even. Even that doesn't exist. So, and you can see sometimes they come for Srimad Bhagavatam and they sit and enjoy Bhagavatam, listening to Bhagavatam. Why? Why is that? That is what Krishna is saying here. Buddhir yasya na lipyate. That sinful activity, in our eyes, they have killed people. They have killed people. And killing is considered, taking the life of another living entity is considered to be sinful. But he does not remember how many soldiers he has killed during the battlefield, in the battle. And now he has finished that work, he is coming and listening to Bhagavatam, and it is not bothering him at all. Why? Buddhir yasya na lipyate. That killing what he has done in the battlefield is not sticking to his intelligence or to his mind or to his memory. It's not there. So therefore it has not bothered him at all afterwards. Isn't it? So only if there is selfishness, because when he was killing, there was no selfishness there. He was just doing his duty. He had to kill. They don't even know each other, isn't it? In the battlefield when they fight, soldiers are fighting one party to another party. They don't even know each other. All he has to do, he has to kill him. That's all. The order from the higher authorities that he has to fight and kill the other side. And he has done that. There's no enmity feeling. Ragadvesham is not there in them. He's doing it. So similarly, only when there is selfishness, ego inside, only then it will create an impression inside. Otherwise there won't be any impression inside. So, so it is from there we have to learn this, that if there is no selfish interest in life, then everything what we do in life, like the soldier fights in the battlefield, with that mood, if you live in this world, that it will won't stick to us. That karma won't stick to us. Only when you get attached to the work, and you are thinking in terms of I am the doer and I am the enjoyer of the results of the karma. If you execute the karma, it will stick. Instead, like the soldier who fought in the battlefield, like Arjuna fought, is it not? Why Arjuna fought after hearing Bhagavad Gita? Therefore, in full realization of the truth, Arjuna fought. So therefore, it did not stick to him. Krishna said, there is no sinful reactions for the war. So, any great personalities or the Mahatmas or great personalities, when they say something, if they tell you to do something, do that. Otherwise, keep quiet. That's all. That is a simple sadhana. Simple sadhana. So, even chanting the holy name, we have to keep this ego separated from that. Ego separately from that. We are thinking, this you can always notice among many people, that they are thinking that there must be a technique while chanting. When you say like that, that they are going to apply some technique while chanting, Already he knows that he is doing, he thinks that he is doing the chanting, and he also knows very well that there must be some results coming from this chanting. So with this kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam, if you are doing the chanting, that chanting won't have any effect. This is one important point, and that you have to understand from Bhagavad Gita. I mentioned this many, many times. Krishna says, 7th chapter begins with that verse, isn't it? Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. That is the most important principle. Any yoga system, if you are engaged in this world, it has to be, as Krishna says, madashraya. Otherwise, it is not yoga. If ego is doing something, that's a separate thing. Any sadhana, these are all sadhana. Chanting the holy name is yoga sadhana, isn't it? Nama japam, chanting the holy name is a yoga sadhana. When you are executing that yoga sadhana, if there is no surrender inside, instead ego is dictating, oh, you have to do today 25 rounds, I'll do 25 rounds, or I'll do 192 rounds, whatever it is. And with that ego's, to satisfy that ego, if you are chanting the holy name, it will remain in the platform of ego. It is not what Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying to us that mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. Yogam yunjan madashraya. That madashraya word is very, very important. Again, Krishna will say, jaramarana mokshaya mam ashrite yatandiye. That ashrayam, shelter, is more important than the sadhana. Sadhana is a secondary thing. This surrender is more important. Only with that surrender, if that sadhana is executed, then it is proper sadhana. That is what Krishna is saying also here. So, therefore, when we start thinking that if there is a technique in chanting, some particular technique, some people think like that, I'll use this certain... people ask also, is there any technique while chanting? Why? Should I remember this? Should I remember that? No. Holy name is not asking anything. Holy name is Krishna. If you just chant the holy name, that's all what you have to do. But it should be done with this understanding that it is Krishna's presence in me helping me to chant this holy name. Otherwise I couldn't chant. It is Krishna is giving me that facility to chant, that is surrender to Krishna. And accepting that, so instead if you start reading, as soon as you start talking about something, somebody will write a book about it. And somebody will publish it. So one person has written one book, another person writes his realizations, he says. Like this in the marketplace, there is hundreds of books about chanting. You can see this. About chanting itself, in the last 30, 40 years, how many books have been published? Go and have a look at it. About chanting. And they say it's all our their own realizations, is there. But who knows that their realization is correct? Is it in agreement with Bhagavad Gita? No. Is their ego has told, after that they felt that they have to write some book after they have chanted for a few years. So they wrote it. And then they sold it. And made everybody else also, misled others as well. That's what's happened. So, when we do this sadhana, the only person you have to consult is Krishna. Nobody else can tell us what's the right thing to do. If anybody will give you so many different opinions, you can see there is so many processes people are applying in chanting now. How to make the chanting successful and how to concentrate while chanting. Nowhere it's said to concentration is yogam. Is Ashtanga Yogam, it is concentration. Chanting japam is not Ashtanga Yogam. It is not a part of Ashtanga Yogam. Chanting japam is a completely different thing. It is surrender that has to come out from this chanting the japam. So, but people buy all these books. Once you have bought the book, then you can take it for granted the business has started. The whole thing goes in a different direction. He will read the book. Then he will hear something else. Then he will say, look, I have read in this book like this. Why you are saying like this? He's not agreeing with that. Then the mind starts working. Causes problems like that. So if you do all that, how can it be successful? That's a question you have to ask. So because we do not understand based on Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying here, like you can see this yoga system. You know, people have a lot of these yoga classes going on. So when they advertise that there is this Kundalini yoga, they'll say to them that they will make the advertisement very attractive by saying to the people that if you do this for so many days, the Kundalini will wake up after a certain number of time, we guarantee, and all that kinds of things, they make the advertisement. But if you take that approach, the ego inside will also start operating at the same time. Because he is advertising because that's his business, one who is doing this. It's a business investment for him, isn't it? So when you are investing in a business, you have invested certain amount of money, and you are creating the benefit from that business, the profits what you create from that. And similarly, we are also trying to do the same thing with our sadhana. What we are trying to do there is that any sadhana, just like the businessman is doing investing and getting the returns, if you take that approach in sadhana, it won't work. Rishis have told us this very openly about it. That you come to spiritual life, and if you start thinking that I have invested, like in a businessman who has invested money in a business and getting the returns from business, and if he is thinking in the same way, I have invested in sadhana so much time, I should get the returns from that, it won't happen. That's all a waste of time. That is what we have to be careful. So that is why rishis have told us, even while engaging in sadhana, that you should not do it on your own in that way, because there is nothing to earn here from sadhana. What do you require? You require that you are trying to kill your false ego inside, isn't it? Sadhana is meant for that purpose, to finally destroy that personality, ahankaram inside, so that it vanishes from inside. So first thing what you have to do before engaging in sadhana, you have to think in this way, what is actually strengthening my ego? Any thoughts that is giving power, force for that ego to grow inside, that is where you have to catch him. Any such thoughts which is actually supporting my ego or strengthening my ego, I have to get rid of them from inside, even while doing the sadhana. That is the secret behind that. That if I am chanting with ego inside, with the hope that I have to do so many rounds, and I've been doing this for so many years, and I'll be doing it for next so many years. In this way, if I develop a feeling inside that I am the doer, and if I do this, many other great Mahatmas, for example, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati chanted for 192 rounds for 7 years or so before he started preaching. Now seeing that, if you start doing that, it won't work. It won't work. Mahatmas, when great personalities do something like that, it is not for us to imitate that. We can only do what we can do within our capacity. What is more important for us is, we have to say to Krishna, I have done everything what I can within my capacity. Now it is up to you what you want to do with me. This is the right approach in these things. Because you won't be able to do all that. Some great souls, what Ramana Maharshi did, what Prabhupada did, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did, everybody can't do that. That's not possible. They are exceptional cases. And we are not supposed to go following them, thinking that, because he has, I'll also do, I'll give it a try, see what happens. That's not the approach. That's not surrender. So that is the important thing, what Krishna is pointing out here. So everything, deity worship, puja, or chanting the holy name, meditation, studying shastram, everything, you can study, do all these things. But if the spiritual master is saying to study a particular shastram and to give attention to that, you should do that. Spiritual master tells you to chant the holy name, you should chant the holy name. And similarly, if he tells you to do the deity worship, do the deity worship. And if he tells you not to do it, if it's not helping you, then you have to give it up also. But if you do like that, in real terms you will see that this simple principle that always to remain in a surrendered mood or a surrendered state and to be in the activities involved in spiritual life is more important. is more important. Only then this verse will work. This 16, this, what is the number? 17. Ah, 17, listen. This 17th verse,
yasya na hankrudo bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatva bisa iman lokan na handi na nibhadyade.
This has to come in spiritual life first. It has to come in spiritual life. All our spiritual activities should be with this understanding. Because spiritual life is nothing but a training, isn't it? If it gets right in spiritual life, then in material life, automatically it will get corrected. But instead, what do? We bring our materialistic understanding into spiritual life. If in spiritual life, if all the sadhana what we do is based on this understanding, yasya na hankrudo bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade atva visa iman lokan na handi na nibhadyade. That means without sticking to anything, you are not sticking to any sadhana. Sadhana you are doing because Krishna has instructed, spiritual master has instructed to do a particular sadhana, you are doing that. And that too, it is executed with this understanding in a fully surrendered state. Krishna has allowed me to do this and let this place Krishna. In that way, if the sadhana is executed, then hat buddhir yasya na lipyade. It won't stick to the buddhi. Instead, if you start thinking that, oh, I have done so much sadhana, and you make a chart, how many rounds you chanted every day, every year, and start making a graph, whether it is going up or going down, all these kinds of things, means ego is very strong inside. That's what it is. And that won't have the help the situation. So this verse is important from the viewpoint even while engaging in spiritual sadhana. Even there it is important. So we'll have a short break now.
Chedo darpanam arjanam maumaha davagni nirvapanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jeevanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvapna subhanam param vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti natrarpida nimida smaranena kala Edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamabhi dukdeiva mi drishamiha janinanu raga tranara vishuni jena karorabi sahishtuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahri nathanam janam nasundarim kavidamba jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani shwari bhavadad bhaktirahe dugitvai Ae nandatanuja kingaram padidamam shame bhavambudo kripaya tava pada pangaja sthita duli sadrasham vichindaya nayanam galada shrudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulagair nijidam kadavabo tava nama grahane bhavishyati yudhaidam nivesena chakshusha pravishayidam Shunyaidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe namim. Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyoduva yathadadava vidadadulam mado malpranamadha sunayevana vara.
Yasya na hankrido bhavom buddhir yasya na lipyade hatva bisa imam lokan na handi na nibhadyade. Yasya na hankrido bhavo buddhir yasya na lipyade hatva bisa imam lokan na handi na nibhadyade. Even if he has killed the whole world, he has not killed anybody, Krishna says. So, what we were talking about it, that as long as we remain in this state, then what is that, as Krishna says here,
that yasyana ahankrito bhavam. So there the most important thing what you have to take notice of this ahankritam. Ahankritam means I am the doer. Ahankritam. I have done it. Ahankritam. That ahankrito bhavo, ahankritam is a manifestation of false ego. Ahankritam. So yasyana ahankrito bhavo, that ahankritam bhavam is not there. Krishna says, buddhir yasya na lipyade, it won't stick to your, it won't have any effect on you. It's not sticking anymore inside them. Because ahankaram is not there. When ahankaram is there, any action what you do in this world, any karmam in this world, whatever you do, will stick, it will create an impression inside and it will go. Whereas if there is no ahankaram inside, it will not create any impression. This is how vasanas are created. How is vasana created? Vasana is not due to the karma. Vasana is due to the ego inside. I am the doer. That is where the impression of the karma remains in the chittam. Isn't it? Karma vasana remains in the chittam. And who is holding it back because of this naham ahankritam? Ahankritam. Ahankritam creates that problem. Any karma, remember Maharshi said this, karma is jadam. Doesn't matter what karma it is. For example, you do a good karma in this world, you do a bad karma in this world. No matter what it is, good karma, bad karma has no meaning. What impression it has created inside us, that's what matters. That's what matters here. So that is why Krishna is also saying here that that any karma for that matter, to get out of this problem, nahankrito bhava, first thing is not to have any motive behind it. If you have no motive behind any karma, this nahankrito bhava will come. See how complicated it is. Then you will ask, how do I have without any motive? Because whole society is telling you should be very strongly motivated. It's just the opposite what the society tells you. Isn't it? Society says, unless you are motivated, there is courses to make you motivated. They are running courses to make you motivated. They say when they join some of these corporations, they think that if you are not motivated enough, then they will put you through these special courses. They say you are qualified, but you don't have sufficient drive. They call the word drive, isn't it? The drive is necessary. Drive means, that means you have to go crazy, in other words. You have to go mad, day and, so that you will work like a donkey whole day and night with your so-called drive and make your whole life a misery. That's what they want. So if you are willing for that, they are saying to us that if you are missing something, we can train you up in that. And they will have their own authorities to quote, to train you up, to boost your false ego somehow. To boost it up in such a way that you become a full of ego inside. Only such people can go up in the ladder in these things, isn't it? Unless you have a saint, you won't find a rishi there in the chief executive's position of a corporate office. Those who are sitting there, they have got this thing in them. So first thing, what Krishna is teaching us is something different. Krishna is saying to us, yasya na ahankrito bhavo. If this nahankrito bhavam has to come, then buddhir yasya na lipyade. Then the karma won't create any impression, it won't stick inside. If that has to happen, no ahankaram has to develop and no sticking has to happen inside. The right thing to do is, any karma when it is executed, there should be no motivation behind it. If you are motivated and if you are doing some, suppose you start thinking, am I doing this with some plan in my mind, some big plan? They say some agenda, they say. Do you have any agenda behind it? People are doing this all the time, is it not? Do I have an agenda behind it? So, give up that agenda first. Give up that agenda. So, somebody has told me to do it, my father, mother has told me to do it, or spiritual master has told me to do it. Yes, you can do that. And he has told you to stop it, you stop it. Don't have to continue it. So, if you do like that, that you are doing it under the instruction of a higher authority, then it is okay. But nowadays, father, mother words also you can't take it, because you don't know what they will tell you to do.
So the only, because father mother is also in the same darkness. What can you do? So you should not use logic and reasoning in these things. That is Krishna's point. That that if you start logic and reasoning, then it won't work. Because logic and reasoning will tell you, you should do it and get the result, isn't it? That's what logic and reasoning. But under instructions from a higher authority, you can do it. Then it won't stick inside. And also without any motivations. And you give freedom for that ego. Don't allow that ego to take any... So if everywhere, if you keep the ego under control in this way, then things will become a lot easier. In that case, the ego won't take control of your actions. And it won't tie you down. It won't touch you, and you won't feel responsibility, and also it won't give you any disturbances inside. So, under order from higher authority, under order from the Shastram, if you do something, that will not cause this problem. Because you are doing it under their instructions. And if they tell you to stop it, like spiritual master tells you to do it, or elderly members in the family who have knowledge and understanding, if they tell you to do it, you can do that. Because there is, under their instructions, you are doing it. But it should not be based on your own ego dictating from within. That is the point. So, this is the secret. This is the secret. And in Shastram, they call it as Ajnanuvartitvam. Ajnanuvartitvam means, I have been ordered by higher authorities. Have you seen, somebody asked Prabhupada, why did you come to the West? What did he say? I have come under the order of my spiritual master. That's what he answered. Do you read that? You would have read that many places. So many people told Prabhupada, why do you go to the West? What is there in America? What is there to go? And even, what's her name, who gave the ticket for her? That, Sindhya's team navigation's owner, she asked Swamiji, why you want to go and suffer there? Why you want to die there? Prabhupada said to her, I'm going, I have been told by higher authorities. That was the answer. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told him, you should distribute this language worldwide and preach this in the English language for others' benefit. So, under higher orders, if you do anything, ego won't be there. You will always be conscious. I've been told by him, I'm doing it, that's all. This is called Ajnanuvartitvam. Ajnanuvartitvam means doing things under higher authorities' instructions. Higher authority's instructions. Murarji. Sumati Murarji, isn't it? Yeah, Sumati Murarji. So when she and her secretary also, if you remember in the Prabhupada, when he had to, those days it was very difficult to travel from India outside. There were so many formalities to get to buy a ticket. There is a thing called a P form, and this P form you have to fill. It's a huge package. It is. Fill it and send it to Delhi. And then they will send it to the Reserve Bank for a person to come out from India. It was so difficult it was then. So, and then it will be sent to the Reserve Bank. Reserve Bank will ask you a million questions. And then you have to answer all that. And there will be this question, why you are going? Who is going to look after you? If you die there, what will happen? What can you answer all these questions? After answering all that, they will give you $8. That's the maximum they were given. In 1965, 66, all it was like that. $8 they'll give it to you. That's what Prabhupada got. And it was about 40 rupees or something at that time. He carried that with him. And he had this sponsorship letter from his friend's son, Agarwal family. So there, every time people asked Prabhupada, why are you going to America? Normally, Swamijis and Sannyasis at this age in life, they'll stay in Vrindavan and try to spend the rest of the days always close to leaving the body, isn't it? And Prabhupada already had certain symptoms of death coming to his body. Still, in spite of that, Prabhupada said, I'm going because I've been instructed to go. I have to do this under higher order. That is called Ajnanavartitvam. So, Ajnanavartitvam, if you do karma in this world, it won't bind you. Because there is no this thing. Which one? Nahankrito bhavam. Ahankritam bhavam is not there. Because somebody has instructed you, you have total surrender to that person, he has instructed you to do it, and you are doing that. There is no ahankaram there. Nahankrito bhavam. Whereas if you start using your logic and reasoning, and start doing making plans and doing different things, what you think is right and you think is wrong, invariably there will be this ahankaram there. And it will stick to the, it will create an impression inside and it will go in that way. So, hatvani na handi iti pradi stuti na esha dosha. This also mentions there that the, that, that buddhi andakaranam yasya almana upadibhutam na lipyade na anushayini bhavati idam aham akarsham tena narakam gamishyami evam yasya buddhi na lipyade na sumatihi sapashyati. Atma does not stick to anything. Atma does not stick to anything. So, somebody says to you, I have done something very sinful and therefore I will go to hell. Suppose I have done something very seriously wrong thing in life and I am always conscious of that, that guilty feeling, I have done something seriously bad and I am frightened that I may go to hell after death. This kind of thoughts is in a person who does not understand Atma, what Atma is. He is carried away, says, buddhi, because where is this thought coming from that I'll go to hell? It's coming from the subtle body. It's not coming from Atma. Buddhi andakaranam yasya atmanaha upadibhutam na lipyate. Very clearly says, upadibhutam na lipyade na anushayini bhavati. Atma does not lipyade, does not stick to anything. When where is it coming from? From upadibhutam. Upadibhutam means mind, intelligence, subtle body in other words. Hatvapi sa iman lokan sarvan pranina ityartaha na handi hanana kriyam na karodi na nibadhyade na abitalkariyena adharma bhalena sambadhyade. Krishna is saying that if you have killed all living entities in this world, he has nothing to do with killing. He has nothing to do with killing. Because he knows who he is. Suppose you are situated on the platform of the soul, whatever the subtle body is doing, you are not doing. Subtle body is doing that. Or the gross body is doing that. You are not doing it. You are only a witness to that. Nanu hatva api na handi iti vipradishiddham vipradishiddham uchyade yadyabhi smriti. So, suppose you have killed somebody. Actually, he has killed somebody. And you are saying to him, you have not killed anybody. Is that not contradicting? That's the Purovaksham. The answer is, na esha doshaha laugiga paramarthiya drishti abekshaya tad upavate. So, when you are coming to the material vision, on the material eyes, if you look at things, they are okay that you have killed somebody. From the material point of view. From the spiritual platform, you have not killed anybody. Remember this? What did Krishna say to us in the beginning? Na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Remember that? That na jayade mriyade vakadachal nayam bhutva bhavido anabhuya ajo nityam shashvatoyam purana na hanyade hanyamane sharire. He has killed somebody's body, but he has not killed him, the person. You can never kill anybody. That is what Krishna is saying. That means once you are on the spiritual platform, this business called killing has no relevance anymore. Has no relevance anymore. From the laugiyam, material life, if you look at it, yes, he has killed somebody. The body has been killed, is it not? But when it comes to the spiritual position, Krishna is saying he has not killed anybody. He can't kill anybody because He is completely settled, situated in the platform of the soul. And what the body has done, there's nothing to do with him, the person inside. That is the underlying principle. So he says here that Dehadi Alpa Buddhya Handa Aham Iti Laukikim Drishtim Ashritya Hatva Abhi Idi Aha Yadartha Darshidam Paramartikim Drishtim Ashritya Nahandi Nanibhadyade Idi Tad Ubhayam Upabhadyade Eva. So if you say that I am the body, that is where the problem begins, isn't it? Instead of I am saying I am Alma, spirit soul, Brahmam, Aham Brahmasmi, I am saying I am this body. And that is how I am conducting all my vyavaharam in this world. And so there, if you say that I have killed somebody, that's okay, when you are identifying with the body. If you say to somebody, because you are identifying with the body anyway, so when you, and because you are identifying with the body, from another person also, when you are talking about him, you are identifying with his body. So your body, with identification, has killed someone else who is also identifying with his body. And there it is perfectly okay, on a bodily level. But when it comes to spiritual level, when you are identifying yourself as Atma, and in that state, when you are saying it is the same Alma who is present in another person, who is not different, you can't kill yourself, can you? Because you can kill your body, but you can't kill yourself. Self cannot be killed. That is the point. So when you look through that second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, so many statements, you will get a clarity when it comes to this 18th chapter. Krishna is explaining to us, whatever he has spoken, initially when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, he just spoke the truth first, is it not? That is how second chapter begins. He says to Arjuna that it is on the absolute platform, the first 10-12 verses in the second chapter. After Arjuna surrendered, when Krishna started speaking, remember that? Shri Bhagavan Vacha, it begins in the second chapter. The first 12-14 verses is completely on the absolute platform. Absolute platform means purely on the platform of the soul, completely untouched by the body and bodily identity. It is after that Krishna brings back this thing called ego and also transmigration of the soul and everything. When he is talking from the platform of the Atma, he doesn't talk about transmigration because there is no transmigration for Atma. Transmigration is only for the jiva, for the subtle body. So that is why initially everything that was spoken is only from the platform of the soul. So here also it is on the same logic. Krishna is saying here also that as long as you are saying you are the body and you are that body, and if you are thinking like that, if you say you have killed somebody, that's okay. Because you are thinking, anyway you are identifying with your body. So what can I say? It's okay, whatever you say is all madness anyway. The first thing that you're saying, you are yourself, the body itself is wrong. There itself fundamentally wrong. And from there, anything after that, whatever associated with that body you are talking about, is all false. It's all false. So if you say that you have killed somebody based on the bodily identity, that is okay. Secondly, you have killed someone else, that person also you are seeing as the body whom you have killed. So first thing to understand is that when you are saying this, in one level you are saying you are the body, and on the other level you are identifying with Atma. Have you noticed that? When I say to somebody, because if you want to say to someone, I have killed somebody, where is that statement coming from? That statement is not coming from the body. It's coming from the Atma, that realization from inside Atma, that statement is coming. At that time, you are not identifying with the body and saying this. You are identifying with Atma and making that statement. But the first part of the statement, I have killed him, is based on the body. You see, that is why it says, Dehadi Alpa Buddhya Handa Aham Iti Laukikim Drishtim Ashritya Hatva Abhi Iti Aha Yadhartha Darshidam Paramartikim Drishtim Ashritya Nahandi Nanibadhyade Iti Tad Ubayam Ubabadhyade Eva.
Ajari Swamiji sentions like this. He says that the first I is the body and the second I is the Atma. The one who is making the statement, I, is the Atma. The one who has done the action, that I is the body. You see? Nanu adhishtanadvi sambhiya karodi eva Atma kartaram Atmanam kevalam tu iti kevala shabda prayogad. So there is a lot of discussion about this in the Bhagavad Gita to explain this point. So whatever we have to understand is this, that nahandi iti, what Krishna says here is that hatvabi sa iman lokan nahanti na nibadhyade. Hatvabi sa imam lokan nahanti na nibadhyade. Swabisa. Na esha dosha almana avikriya svabhavatve adhishtanadibi samhatatvanu upapatte. For example, if you ask the question that then Atma, suppose you say Atma is the karta, and if you stay like that, that means Atma has joined the body then. Actually body has done the work. Killing. Body has done the killing. Now, if you say Atma has done that, that means Atma has started working with body. Atma started working in body. So Atma has joined the Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam is the body. Remember earlier we talked about Adhishtanam. Adhishtanam is the body. Remember? In the 15th verse, Adhishtanam tatha karta karananja pratakvidam. So Adhishtanam is the one which does the karma. Now, if you say that Atma has done, I am Atma, and from that state I am saying this, if I have done this, then Atma is the karta, and here Atma and Adhishtanam has joined together, and the karma has happened because of that. If you say like that, Nayesha Doshaha. Why? Atmana avikriya subhavatve adhishtanadibi samhatatva nupapatte. Under no circumstances, Atma can take any ownership of any karma. Under no circumstances, Atma can take any ownership of any karma. So even if you say like that, your statement is wrong. Because Shastram says to us, Atma is never a doer. You can't impose anything on Atma for any karma. Atma is always nishkriya. Nishkriya means no kriya, no activity. So avikriya svabhavam. So avikriyatva means it does not work. Atma doesn't do anything. That is why it said avikriya svabhavam. That is Atma's nature. And because Atma's nature is avikriyatvam. Avikriyatvam means indifference to everything. It doesn't do anything. Everything is done by the body, mind, intelligence. So to say that Atma has done that in conjunction with the body or adhishtanam is wrong. This is the argument. Because whenever we analyze this body and the soul, you have to always bring back the Upanishad's background behind it. Upanishad is telling certain fundamental things to us. The very nature of Atma is, it is always eternal, nityam, shuddham, buddham, mukta, swarupam. That is, and one side Upanishad is telling us this, rishis are telling us, that nitya, shuddha, buddha, mukta, swarupam is Atma, which means eternal, pure, and always liberated and always fully conscious. This is the nature of Atma. The only thing attributed to Atma is consciousness, pure consciousness, bodham, avabodham. That is the only thing attributed to Atma. None of them is attributed to Atma. So therefore, if you say that Atma has done something, it doesn't agree with the Upanishad statement, therefore we reject. This is the logic way to put these things. So vikriyavadohi anyehi samhananam sambhavadi samhatyava kartrutvam syal. Krishna, they say here that suppose Atma joins the body, shariram. As far as Shastram is concerned, Atma never joins the body. It's always separate. He is present inside, but doesn't mean that he has joined the body. But if you take it that, if it has joined the body, what does that mean? That means some changes happened in the Atma. But that cannot happen. Atma cannot change. Atma is always Atma. Consciousness it is.
pure consciousness. So therefore, if you say that Alpa has joined the body and executed the karmam, that is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. That is what it says here. Vikriyavado hi anyai samhananam sambhavati samhatyava kartrutvam syal. So you can't impose kartrutvam on Alma. On Alma. So Nadu, it goes on. Nadu avikriyasya almana kainachal samhananam asti idina sambhuya kartrutvam upavadyade ada kevalatvam almana swabhavigam idi kevala shabdaha anuvada matram. So all these things is to point out to us that this important verse, what we are discussing now, buddhir yasya na lipyate. When any karmam is performed, if the ego is not there, it will not leave behind any impression inside. If there is ego, and if a karmam is executed, it will leave an impression, but that impression will be in the buddhi, not in the Atma. It doesn't go into Atma, it stays in the buddhi. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that if that person who has no false ego, if he does any karmam in this world, and the worst of all, he is saying, Hatva bisa iman loke, if he kills everybody in this world, all living and in this world, he says, Nahanti nanibadyade, he has not killed anybody, he is not bound by anything. Just see that. Hatwabi sa iman loge na handi na nibadyade. Why? The reason is this, because he has no false ego. He has no ahankaram inside. So any karmam, normally all the karmam we do is under the guidance of ahankaram, isn't it? Ahankaram is dictating, do this, do this, do this. And so long as this ahankaram is dictating and karmam is performed in this world, there will be some impression left behind inside. So to free ourselves from this false ego is the most important thing. You can understand that. Because the presence of false ego, it creates all these problems. It creates these karmic vasanas which created inside. And not only that, ahankaram, also because of ahankaram, ragadvesham comes. Also due to ahankaram. So kartrutva boktrutvam is due to ahankaram. Ragadvesham is also due to ahankaram. That means, I am the owner, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is due to ahankaram. And also aversion, hate, attachment and aversion is also due to ahankaram. So all these problems, the pivot is ahankaram. Ahankaram is the one which controls all these four things. And to free from this, that is where Krishna spoke about karma yoga. Remember that? That is why Krishna is tying up everything with that karma yogam now, in these verses. He says here, yasya na ahankrito bhavo, buddhir yasya na lipyate, khrutvabhi sa iman lokan, na handi na nibhadyate. After saying that, Krishna is saying there, even if he has done anything in this world, any damn thing in this world, as they say, it doesn't matter, it has not touched him. It has not touched him. For example, even if he is cooking food, he has not cooked the food. It has happened. And that means there is no vyavaharam in that person anymore. He is completely free from vyavaharam. That's what has happened. When this verse is realized, what happens to him? He has no more vyavaharam. Vyavaharam to happen, false ego is necessary. Only in the presence of false ego, vyavaharam can happen. Otherwise, vyavaharam cannot happen. In the absence of false ego, anything that happens is not vyavaharam anymore. It's not vyavaharam anymore. It becomes vyavaharam because of the false ego. So that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. If you look, we will see that. That, for example, you can see that that verse. Text 18. Jnanam jnayam parijnata trividha karma chodana karanam karma karteti
Trivida Karma Sangraha Jnanam Eyam Parijnata Trivida Karma Chodana Karanam Karma Karteti Trivida Karma Sangraha. Another interesting verse supporting this 17th verse. The 17th verse is a very important verse because from 16th verse you saw where all the problem is. And 17th verse is telling us how that problem will go. How can it come out of that problem? This 18th verse is Jnanam Yayam Parijnata Trividha Karma Chodana Karanam Karma Kartedi Trividha Karma Sangraha. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. The senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. Again, coming back to karma. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are the three factors that motivate action. Senses, the work, and the doer are the three constituents of action. So, if you look into the in the 16th verse also, if you read the purport, a foolish person, you have to notice this is important. A foolish person cannot understand that the super soul is sitting as a friend within and conducting his actions. You see, Prabhupada is not saying here, Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead, Prabhupada is saying that Antaryami inside. Supersoul is the Antaryami. He says here, if he cannot understand that the Supersoul is sitting as a friend within and conducting his actions. he is a friend, no doubt, but sometimes he's indifferent. He's never an enemy. That you have to accept. He's not an enemy, but he's indifferent. You remember that Upanishad verses? Dvasuparna Saija Sakhayam Samanavritya Parishasya Jade, the two birds sitting on the tree. That's that. So, when one bird is jumping away from the tree and jumping to all other branches of the tree and eating the fruits, the other bird is sitting and watching. He's not saying anything to him. But the second bird, which is Jivatma, when he came out and he started tasting different fruits, when he got some sweet fruit, he jumped further down to another one. But by chance, he bit one bitter fruit. When the bitter fruit he has bitten, he started looking back to the other bird sitting there, Paramatma, the super soul, Antaryami inside. He was looking at him. So at that time also, Antaryami is not saying anything. He's not saying anything, he's keeping quiet. Because he knows that this one, Jivatma, who has gone, he will come back one day. He has no choice. He will try a lot, and then finally he will come back to me. Finally, when he gets a lot of bad experiences in this world, a lot of misery, a lot of suffering, that is when he starts getting closer to the Antaryami. This is why we say in spiritual life, you need distress. If there is no distress in life, all this so-called preaching and all won't have any effect. You can also notice this, only those who are suffering in life, they'll come to spiritual life. When everything is wonderful, lot of comforts in life, happiness in life, everything is going very well, what possibility is there to come to Bhagavad Gita? There's no chance. You will question Bhagavad Gita. But when you have experienced misery, it's like that bird, who have come through a lot of miseries, then only the inquiry will begin inside. Otherwise it won't happen. This is the reason why we say that misery is necessary in life. Without that we would not have ever come to spiritual life. We would have never come to spiritual life. There's no chance. There's no hope at all. It's only due to misery that people come to spiritual life. That is the prime factor. When the body is giving trouble, family is having problems, and in every level that society there is problem, you can imagine We become more God-conscious in a natural way. You look, is there any escape route from here? Otherwise, you don't want to escape from here. You want to be comfortable here, isn't it? So there is a balance in this world. Krishna has created in that way. That so the same thing Krishna Prabhupada is mentioning here. A foolish person cannot understand that the super soul is sitting as a friend within and conducting his actions. Although the material causes are the place, the worker, the endeavor and the senses, the final cause is the supreme. Is the supreme. Therefore, one should see not only the four material causes, but the supreme efficient cause as well. One who does not see the supreme thinks himself to be the doer. If he recognizes these five things, what Krishna said in the previous words, Adhishtanam Tadhakarta, Karananja Pratakvidam, Vivdascha Pratakcheshta, Devam Chaivatra Panchamam. If you accept that, Devam's present is there, Andaryami's present is there, who sanctions everything? Whatever karmam you have performed, Andaryami has to sanction that. If he sanctions that, you will get that much result from that karma, from that particular karma. Not by how being smart or clever, then the result will come. It won't come. So it is the same thing here. Now in this next verse, in this 18th verse, Krishna is saying something little different, in a different way. For example, so there was, I don't know, some of you may have heard, it is all on the internet also, a famous lady who is no more, called Subbalakshmi. She was a famous singer. And in her time, that was during the time when in the 40s, 50s, I think she left her body 20 years ago. She was a famous singer. She had a voice, very divine feeling it used to create those who listened to her. So, she used to go for this. She was well known in her time. And she never sang any this modern kind of music. You know what we are talking about? Mostly she stuck with the classical music. She was very specialist in that. Or bhajans. Or mostly related to spiritual life. That was her way of life. Although she was invited many times to sing in the films and things like that, she always stayed away from that field because knowing very well that it had a bad effect on her own understanding of spiritual life. So, some days, somebody mentioned to her sometimes when you sing, it has a very strong effect on the people and sometimes it doesn't happen that way. What's the reason behind that? They asked her this question. So, her answer was, she says to them, generally I don't sing under my own decision. I don't take that decision. Her husband, who was also an editor of a magazine at that time, he was more or less managed her affairs, management, more, she did that. If he tells me to sing, I will sing. That means, just like we saw before, Ajnanavartitam. She used to think that he has told me to sing, I am singing. Therefore, I don't have the ownership. So, therefore, he says here, whenever he tells me to sing and I sing, the effect was there. But instead, and not only that, when she had been invited for famous concerts and all that, you know, those who enjoy that kind of concert, where very, very cultured audience who listens to classical music, when they are invited her, they will award her with a lot of money as well. But whatever money that has come from that, she will hand over to some charitable activity. Never took it for herself at any time. And she didn't have even a house to stay. She stayed in a rented apartment in the city. In the city. But never thought about collecting money for her own comforts, in other words. And because of all this, and she will finish up the money, whatever that has come to her. So, but sometimes people will invite her, particularly sometimes very wealthy people, during marriage. They will like to have a musical concert, some bhajans or some classical music concert, which will last for a few hours. And when she has to sing in those occasions, they will tell her then also that you should sing well today because there's a lot of audience and all. She said, no, it will not work like that. It will not work like that. The moment you become conscious of doing something, it will lose its beauty. It will, because the moment you become conscious, ego steps in there. So when ego is present, whatever you do at that time, that will not come out well. This is the secret behind it. Therefore, Krishna says here, suppose you start thinking, I have to do well, and I have to create an impression among others. You can see, even in the sports also, it is like that. When the whole the press and everything puts a lot of pressure on the players, and because of that, it strengthens his ego inside, that person. And then he goes and plays, and everything goes wrong. And then the whole press criticizes him after that. They put the whole load on his head, saying that if you don't do this, if you don't play well, so many players you can see suffering because of this. That they have put, the whole nation is dependent on you. They put it on their head. You can see in this World Cup even, what's going on. Some of them are very young, 25 years old. How old is 25? Is not very old, is it? How much realization has he got in life? He cannot handle it. People have, the whole country has put the whole pressure on these poor fellows and told them that if you don't play well, the whole country is at stake. The pride of our country is at stake. Like this, they put the whole pressure. And that's why many times they tell them, don't put this pressure on the people like this. But press won't leave anybody. They'll put the whole pressure. And if he fails, then that's it. They'll hang him there. So what the press does not understand is, if you are really the well-wisher of that person, not to put pressure on him, but if you put the pressure, conscious builds up inside that ego, boosts his ego to such an extent that he cannot function anymore. So that is why, because he unknowingly, it builds up inside. I have to do well. The country has to recognize me. I have to be honored by the club or by the management or whoever is this involved in that. So that is what Krishna is saying here. That nahandi, in that verse he says, nahandi nanibhadyade. Last verse. Hatvabhisa iman lokan nahandi nanibhadyade. So in that state, karmam has to be executed. Nahandi nanibhadyade. Whereas here, what do you see there? Before the game starts, he is already bound with the result. If the result is going to be bad, he knows he's going to be hung. He's going to be hung. Whereas, suppose he was left to free, whatever happens doesn't matter, then he will do better. But if you have put all the pressure inside in his subtle body, then it is not nahandi nanibhadyade, it's already badyade. He's already bound. He can't do anything. You have bound him already with all your hopes on him. And then they start analyzing this from all angles. His previous life, they will write his whole chart before they go to play his game. And they call the football pandits, isn't it? They call them pandits, I believe. The football pandits. It's very interesting to watch all this fun going on. That they analyze to such an extent everything, and they will load him with all their desires and aspirations on him. And this poor man, he has somehow or the other, Krishna has given him some skill how to kick the ball. And that's all what he has got. He doesn't know anything else. What does he know? All he knows is how to kick the ball and play with it with the two legs. That's all what he has learned. And you have put all this responsibility, the whole nation on his head and send him there. And poor fellow, he thinking that if anything goes wrong, I am responsible. It's already strongly planted inside. So when he starts playing, he's totally conscious of that. And therefore, ahankaram won't allow. Ahankaram will bind him more and more. That's what Krishna is saying here. Nahandi nanibhadyade. If you are bound by things, then you can't do things properly. If you are not bound, it won't create any problem inside.
You played, you won or lost, so what? That's it. After all, it's a sport, isn't it? One will win, one will lose. There's nothing more to it than that. No, these people, they'll bring you the record from 1880 when the football started this world. The history will start from there. What happened in 1880? Every 4 years what happened? Where it happened? Who all played there? How the ball was kicked? From which side it was kicked? How, which part of the post it has gone in? Like this, these pandits will analyze. If only they analyze Bhagavad Gita like this, how nice it would be. But they won't do that. They will analyze this ball kicking to such extent. So that is the way it is. So anyway, what point is here that what this impression creates inside us. If you are bound like this, Krishna says it is not possible to do na ahankrito bhavam. This ahankritam bhavam, Krishna says, buddhir yasya na lipyate, hatvabhi sa ima lokan na hanti na nibhadyate. Killing is only one issue. It is like that every karma. When Krishna mentioned this in this verse, he said, killing is mentioned because Arjuna is killing. That's one reason. Secondly, killing is supposed to be the worst thing that can happen. So even in killing, it cannot happen, Krishna says. So if in killing it cannot happen, how can it happen in any other karma? Football match is also a karma, is it not? So important point is that na hanti na nibhadyate. If you are bound, if you are affected by that, then it will create impression inside and therefore it will stick to your intelligence that I am the doer and that will cause problems. That karma will cause problems. So person who has that nahankrito bhavam, if he is doing it like that, he is not doing anything actually. What is he doing then? What is doing it? I have nothing to do with it. And therefore he is not doing anything. So that is the secret behind it. That is the secret behind it. So that that power, when he is doing the karma without taking the ownership of that karma, if the karma is getting done without taking the ownership of that, that power what he has got, he won't have that power from the karma what he has done. Do you understand that? Karma what he has done, the spiritual power behind that, in doing that karma and the result that is coming from that karma. If he has executed that karma without creating any vasanas inside, spiritually he has grown stronger. And that benefit what he got from that is more than the benefit what he got from the karma. What he got from the karma. So any karma when we do in this world, any karma, if he is aloof from that results and the ownership, he will get purified from that. You see? That is how purification happens. Remember I was mentioning Karma Yoga. How does Karma Yoga purify a person? Because every time when he is doing the karma, that karma is not creating any impression inside. He is gaining because he gets freed from the doership. Kartrutvam goes away from inside. Karma has come, it has come through the body, just done and gone. We look into the karma and its result. Krishna is looking to the after effect of the karma in you. When you are spiritually interested, you are not interested in the result of the karma. What does it matter? So many people have done so much karma in this world. Karma and its result is not important. Important thing is what impact the karma has created inside. If a person has executed a karma without ownership, nahankrito bhavo, if he has done that karma, the benefit that he has got from that is far more than the benefit what he has got from the karma itself. That is the point Krishna is making there. In other words, he is doing a lot of karma in this world, but at the same time he is not doing anything. And therefore, by his very silence in that, that is a silence, isn't it? He is silent towards the karma.
His attitude is, he is very silent towards the karma. Karma is happening, I am not, I am only a witness. It's happening through the body. I have to do it, I am doing it, but under higher orders, I am doing this karma, whatever I have to do, but it has nothing to do with me. Even that situation, he is actually progressing in his spiritual life. Don't evaluate his results of his karma. That's what Krishna is saying. Don't evaluate the results of his karma, because evaluating the results of karma is all useless at the end. So many great personalities have come and done here, big karma and gone. What happened? Bhumi Devi makes fun of them in the end of Bhagavatam. You can see there. So this verse also, Jnanam Jnayam Parijnatam Trividha Karma Chodana Karanam Karma Kartedi Trividha Karma Sangraha. Three things. Karanam Karmam Kartedi Trividha Karma Sangraha. Krishna is saying here that this, how this karma does not jump on top of you and control you. That technique, that knowledge, that is what is spoken here. You see, normally we all get affected by karma, is it not? Very difficult to say karma does not affect me. Very difficult to say that. But the technique by which the karma does not get control of you and push you down and bring you under his control, that technique is what is being spoken here. So, Sarva Vedartha Saraha, in the Bhashyam also it mentions there that karma here in this 18th verse, Jnanam Jnayam Parijnata Trividha Karma Chodana Karanam Karma Kartedi Karanam Karma Kartedi Trividha Karma Sangraha. So here, Sa Esha Sarva Vedartham. That means Jnanam Jnayade Anena Idi Sarva Vishayam Avisheshana Uchyade Sarvam Adha Parijnana Upadhi Lakshanam Avidya Kalpido Bhokta Idi Eda Trayam Esham Avisheshana Sarva Karmanam Pravartika Trividha Tripragara Karma Chodana. And he says that what does knowledge means? Knowledge means Krishna has given a special power to us. What's that power? It is with that power we get to know things, isn't it? How do we know things? Through that power of knowledge. Power of knowledge. So that is knowledge. And whatever you have to know, all that combined together is called Jnayam. So, this power, what Krishna has invested in us, capacity in us, by which we are able to know other things, other topics, acquiring knowledge of this world, that's called Jnanam. And Jnayam means that the all that what has to be known, combine them together, that is called Jnayam. And due to ignorance in me, Ajnanam, I am also thinking that I am the person who is experiencing everything. That is called Parijnadava. See that word there? Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnada. Parijnada means, Jnanam is the knowledge, Jnayam is the objective of knowledge, and Parijnada is the knower. So, Parijnada is mentioned there in that way. So, here you can see Sarva Vedartha Saraha. Sarva Vedartha Saraha means that the whole purpose of Vedam, the goal of Vedam is somehow or the other to pull us out from this whirlpool of karma. See, karma is considered to be like a whirlpool. When you are caught inside that whirlpool, it's very difficult to come out from the whirlpool, isn't it? It puts you like this, gets inside.
purpose of Vedam is to pull us out from that whirlpool of karma. From the whirlpool of karma. So, Kritri Mahodadihi, Mahodadihi, karma is like an ocean. Huge ocean that is. And that whirlpool is the cause of all our miseries in life. Why we are suffering in this world is because we are in that whirlpool of karma. In that whirlpool of karma. So, therefore, through the knowledge of the self, so Swarupa Jnanam it is called, through knowledge of the self, Krishna is making us aware, Atma doesn't have any karma. Karma is not a real thing. Karma is that is executed by the body and the mind and the senses. That is why when he spoke about karma, once you are moved into Atma, state of Atma, realization of the self, karma doesn't exist anymore. Isn't it? And when you realize that, karma is also a false thing. We spoke that before. When you realize the self, you realize that Atma doesn't, when you have identified with the self, in other words. When I say, when you realize the self means, now we are identifying with the body. Say, if you are identifying with the self, you have reached that state. Then you are not identifying with the body anymore. And therefore, all those five factors what we spoke, Shariram, Karta, Cheshta, Karanam, Devam, doesn't exist. They don't exist anymore. So Krishna is saying here, when that situation happens, you will also know that I am the doer, Karta, I am the owner, Bhokta, that is also not real. Remember I mentioned this before, Karta, Bhokta and all is only in the memory. It is not in the Atma. But we don't have that realization. We are still thinking, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. But every time, whenever this I am Karta, I am Bhokta comes, you have to learn to throw it back onto the ego, rather than accepting as the self. Self has nothing to do with Karta and Bhokta. So, therefore, that is why that statement, Upanishad statement, Asangoyam, Asangoyam, Asangoyam. Asangam. Asangam means no sangam at all. Puna puna, again and again. Why? Satchidananda rupoham. My identity is Satchitta Anandam. If I am Satchitta Anandam, where is the question of Kartutvam and Bhoktrutvam there? That is the question. So that person who has come to that state, Krishna says there, Samastha Vedartha Samsaram. He understands the goal of all the Vedam, all the Shastram. He has come to that realization. So, so Jnanam in Karmam, Krishna is saying here, Jnanam Eyam Parijnata. So, these three things, Trividha Karma Chodana. These are the three things. Jnanam Eyam Parijnata. These three things, Trividha Karma Chodana. They are the causes behind the karma. Karma chodana means that encourages for karma to happen. That facilitates, in other words. It facilitates karma. Which one? Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnada. Parijnada. So, everything outside us is Jnayam. Outside us. Everything is Jnayam. So, for example, for me, you are all Jnayam. For you, I am Jnayam. It is like that. And this same thing, in the Bhagavatam, they use three different words. Instead of Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnada, they say Pramanam, Prameyam, Pramatam. That is the three words used in the Bhagavatam commentaries. Pramanam, Prameyam, Pramatam. That is Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnada. So, for example, you are Jnayam for me. You are Jnayam for me. And my eyes, with which I am knowing you, your presence here, is Pramanam. Is Pramanam. So, whatever that is known, is Pramanam. Anything that is known is Pramanam. And I am inside, who is experiencing you, you are Jnayam. My eyes are the one which is bringing your presence to me. And therefore, it is Jnayam. And me inside, who is present inside, who is experiencing it, is Pramatav.
or Parijnadav. Inside. Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnadav. Three words Krishna has used there. We'll come to that. So these three things, Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnadav, they are all in relationship with Upadhi. Is it not? With Upadhi only. Because Upadhi means body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all these are Upadhis. They are operating within the Upadhi only. Because when I know your presence through the eye, where is it registered? It is registered in the mind. Mind accepts that, your presence. Mind is accepting that. And your presence is jnanam. Jnayam is the eye, how it is transmitting that realization to me. So, all these are called Upadhi Lakshanam. Upadhi Lakshanam it is called. So here, avidya, it says here that avidya kalpido bhokta iti etat triyam esham avisheshana sarva karmanam pravartika trivida tripragara karma chodana. He says here, these three things, avidya kalpido bhokta. Avidya kalpido bhokta. Bhokta is me. Bhokta is me. Avidya is the object. It's avidya. And, for example, when I see a form, I'm accepting that form. And my eyes are transmitting to me his form only. He is not actually revealing to me his real identity. So therefore, he is avidya for me. That form I am seeing is avidya in my eyes. And this eye, which is transmitting that knowledge into me, that is also false thing. Avidya, kalpido, bhokta. These three things, and bhokta, who is enjoying this, is bhokta, enjoyer. Bhokta is enjoyer. He is also false. Who is enjoying? My mind and the false ego. He is registering, accepting that. It has nothing to do with the self, isn't it? So, when this verse is spoken, Yayam Ayam Parijnada, it's all in the field of Upadhi. Is it not? It's not in the field of Atma. It's all in the Upadhis are present there. You are present there in that form. My eyes are telling me some falsity, presenting to me as the truth. So therefore, I is also cheating me. I is not revealing to me your real identity. It's presenting to me some false presence of somebody there. You have to always separate spiritual understanding from material way of looking at things. With the eyes normally we see some things and we say, oh, I've seen. That's why when we say, I've seen, Shastram says, you have not seen anything. Whatever you have seen is all wrong. So, whereas science gives importance to seeing, isn't it? Only what you have seen, science will accept. If you tell a scientist that everything what you have seen is false, he is not going to agree, would he? He will think you have gone crazy. You are saying he has gone crazy. So who is crazy? So that is what we have to understand. That when we study Shastram, we have to change our way of looking at things. Everything Krishna has spoken from the platform of the soul, he is not telling us, oh, have you seen it? And Krishna never said to Arjuna, have you seen the soul Arjuna now? At the end after saying the whole Bhagavad Gita. He never asked that question. I've told you everything what I have to say. If it has happened to you, it has happened. If you have not got it, you have not got it. But because Krishna's grace, Arjuna got it. And therefore he started seeing things properly. Seeing things properly. So therefore, avidya kalpido bhoktam. So, and these three things, karma chodanam, that is the point. Point is this. This avidya kalpido bhokta, these three things, they are the factors which is encouraging us to engage in karma. That is the underlying principle behind it. All these things require a lot of analysis. Only then you will understand the depth of these statements. If you say this to a scientist, he won't accept it. For him, his telescope or his binoculars and all his equipment is his avidya. What he is seeing through this his binoculars or his telescope, it's all avidya. That is why Shastram cannot, and unfortunately, because we have not understood Bhagavad Gita properly, devotees are trying to connect science
with Bhagavad Gita. How will it work? How can it work? They are saying this, that, oh, Krishna, all these things, what is said in the Shastram, and if scientists have found out something, and if it is agreeing each other, they say, look, it is confirmed by the science. No, you can never get anything. Shastram doesn't require any confirmation from science. Science is all avidya, as far as Shastram is concerned. Completely avidya it is. But because we don't know what avidya is, we are accepting Shastra, science. That's what it is. Because we don't know what avidya is. Look at the Rishi's vision. Rishis are saying to us three things. Jnanam, Yayam, Parijnadava. These three things are happening in the Upadhi. It is not happening in the Alpma. Everything that is happening in the Upadhi, he mentions there, these are happening because they are the factors behind karma. Karma Chodhanam. Karma Chodhanam means that facilitates karma. So because these three factors facilitates karma, Krishna says, the cause of karma is these three. Cause of karma is these three. Otherwise, is there any answer from the science? Why we are working like this day and night? Where is the answer? They haven't got an answer. Only thing what they will tell you is, you're working like an asshole day and night. They will say, oh, you're doing a great job, they'll say. That's all they can say. They don't have a clue. Why we are forced to accept this kind of impetus. Where is this impetus coming from? To work like this, day and night. And there is no answer from the science. But they will say, because you are very motivated, they say, therefore you are working. Where is that motivation coming from? That's what this is. Jnanam yayam parikarta.
Jnanam yayam parityada
trividha karma chodana. The inspiration to do karma is coming from these three things. Which one? Jnanam, Yeyam, Parijnada. And all three of them are avidya. All three of them are avidya. When you move more and more into the Vedantam and to the higher understanding from the spiritual point of view, you will automatically, you will feel disgusted with the science. That's what will happen. You will not try to bring science and the Shastram together. How can this higher science come to this scientist who doesn't have the austerity, who doesn't have the penances, who doesn't have the surrender? Do you think it is such a cheap thing the rishis have revealed to us? Do you think it will come automatically through scientific research? It will never happen. It will never happen. It is not possible. The rishis who have revealed this to us, that too, they had to perform such intense austerities and penances for how many years? Not one lifetime, several lifetimes, starting from the creation times this has been going on. And the rishis have revealed to us, that is why Vedam and its authority, please do not bring any other things into it and start comparing with it. If you start doing that, you have lost it. Nowadays it is a practice. They compare, oh, if it is stated in the Vedam, it should agree with other scriptures in this world. And if we all agree together, then we have a common denominator, they say. We don't need common denominator. This is Shastram. Here, there is no common denominator. There is only one thing, what the rishis have told us. And that Shastram is not subject to any scrutiny. Authority of the Vedam is above everything. Even when Krishna spoke, Ramachandra spoke, or anybody spoke, they will not question the authority of the Vedam. It is so high, it's so firmly established. We'll discuss it next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.